The fallout from Bound for Glory, trouble in the Middle East, is Crown Jewel in jeopardy? And tonight on the hotline, Lance Hoyt joins us. It's the Shining Wizards. The place for news, views, and entertainment the way you like it. RantEMRadio.com. The following is brought to you in association with and from a proud partner of the Shining Wizards Network. Entertainment. Theater. Thanks for tuning in and listening to The Shining Wizards, proudly available at ShiningWizards.com and on the Shining Wizards Network. Be sure to subscribe, like, rate, and review us on whatever platform you listen to us on, including iTunes, TuneIn, Stitcher, Google Play, Audioboom, and so many more. If you shop at Amazon, visit Amazon.ShiningWizards.com and click on your country's banner. Do your shopping as usual, pay the same low prices as always, and a portion of your purchase will help support the show. If you'd like to buy Shining Wizards t-shirts, visit ShiningWizards.com/merch or a link to our Pro Wrestling Tees store and select from dozens of great designs. Follow us on social media at Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram at Wizards Podcast. If you'd like to check out our videos, visit YouTube or Dailymotion and search The Shining Wizards. The Shining Wizards airs live every Tuesday night at 7 p.m. East at RantEMRadio.com or SWLive.net. From all of us at The Shining Wizards, we thank you for your continued support.
This is Notorious 1-7, the Brooklyn Bruiser, repping the 718 Homicide, and you're listening to The Shining Wizard.
I have a small dick.
God damn! Woo!
Meow, 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 meow.
I'm doing Richie Sambora impression. That's it. We are rocketing to episode 400. We are streamlined. Heading towards Matt's birthday bash. It's the Shining Wizards, where, of course, as you know, it's wrestling talk.
Talk about wrestling.
Thank you, somebody.
Thank
you. Ladies and gentlemen, the star of the Dumbfellas podcast, the star of the Shining Wizards.
Well, I'm sorry.
What podcast? Who has a new shirt available on ProWrestlingTees.com. Shining Wizards, Kevin. What's up, brother?
What up, diggity dog?
Diggity dog. And, of course, the man who is typing with one
type,
hand.
Type.
Because
type.
His other hand
super
is busy doing other things. Shining Wizards, Matt. What's up?
What's up, fellas?
What's up, dude?
How goes? One hand in my pocket, and the other hand is single-handedly running this podcast.
Knocking down podcasting doors the way Nikki Bella is knocking down John Cena's bedroom door.
Hey-o!
We got the zingers and we got the winger. Oh, man, we could have got some wings. Didn't you work at Applebee's? You should bring us some wings.
I worked at Applebee's like 10 years
ago. Yeah, how does someone used to be working at a place qualify him automatically have access to wings?
Because he could probably walk back in and be like, yo, Matt, what's up? Yo, my man, hook me up with some wings. And be like, all right, yeah, dude, whatever.
No, that's not how it works.
It's not like it's like they don't sign contracts. You know, it's like the turnover at Chili's is probably pretty high.
The restaurant turnover in general is through the roof.
Yeah. Through the roof.
Through the roof.
Raise the roof.
Does that mean like turning over like in terms of
a new leaf?
Yeah, employees or in terms of like food production or
employees? The employee turnover is very high in the restaurant business.
All right, let me ask you a question. You've been away from Applebee's for a while, so the statute of limitations is over and done. You ever drop food on the floor, just pick it back up and serve it to somebody?
No.
No?
No. I did once.
That's a good man right there.
I did once.
Okay.
Make a quesadilla for my general manager.
Okay.
Just put it on the floor.
Oh, no.
What happened?
I don't know what happened. I don't know. We're kind of glitching on something.
Uh-oh.
Maybe it is you. Yeah, it is you. Well, I'm going to switch. I'll switch you out to a different port.
Port.
Try that one. Hello? Turn on your mic. It's on, dude. It's on. Something must have happened.
We are approaching 7 years and 400 episodes of the Shining Wizards Wrestling Podcast, the premier professional wrestling podcast. We have Lance Hoyt one half of the Killer Elite Squad, calling in just a little bit to talk all things KES and his career. That's how you filibuster, right, boys.
Oh, right. I just broke the microphone. So we got that going on for us.
Matt pipe bombed it.
I dropped a KCD on the floor for my general manager. Then I stepped on it. I put it back on the flat top, and I gave it to him.
Wow.
Because I hated him.
Did he die?
No, he didn't die.
Okay, good for him. Good.
I've eaten Oreo cookies off my shoes.
How's this? Is this working?
No, you're not even on.
Whoa. So, I hope something didn't fry with the board.
How's that better?
Oh, there you go.
Oh, we must have fried something.
And then dropped it on the floor and then served it to our general manager.
You know why? Because this one wasn't sent to the main. So, no, we're good. I don't know what happened. We'll have to check that mic later. Here you go.
Gucci man.
How's that?
All right,
we're good? That was a little bit of a panicky over there.
For whom? You.
For me, of course.
The tech guy.
But you know what the great thing is?
What?
We can always get some new tech because we've got people supporting us on Patreon at patreon.com. You want to send out our shout-outs and thank yous to all of the producers this week?
Yeah, go nuts, buddy.
They already screwed up.
Okay. Okay, Jesus, how many windows can I have open here? We have Skype because Lance Hoyta is going to be calling us in the 7:30 hour. But we do have our list of Patreon producers. If I could... Yo, my computer hates me tonight. I have no idea why.
As long as it's still recording.
Ah, no, we are. But definitely, here we are. We'd like to thank our Patreon producers in no particular order, but I think they're alphabetical, maybe. Abigail,
we'll
of course.
We'll be able to find out real
quick. Cindy Arden. Dan Rusinello.
Ardone. Cindy Ardone.
Ardone. Well, then help me out with this. I'm an idiot. Jesse the Body Bowman. Of course, our favorite cheesesteak gal, Kathy Homer.
Head shrinkers.
Manny Kratzo. That's our buddy. Mike Martinelli. And Sean Toe, Kevin's boy. Thank you guys for contributing to us. You can visit patreon.com/wizardspodcast. If you like to become a patron of ours, just a dollar. A dollar gets you a producer credit. We have so many tiers, so much to offer. You can get a banner on our webpage.
Say what?
You can get an email at shiningwizards.com.
Whoa.
You'll get priority questions. You'll get call-in segments. You'll get all that good stuff. And it starts at just a dollar, Kevin.
Look at that.
Just a dollar.
How can you go wrong?
And who doesn't have a dollar?
Well, I got to check my wallet, but I think I have one somewhere.
You can afford this.
Oh, of course I can. And so can you. Thank you.
You're very welcome.
I got nothing
else. Good job. Good chill there, pal.
No, but in all seriousness, thank you to all of you who continue to support us. We love you all.
Yes. And speaking of people that support us, did you guys watch Bound for Glory? Because Tara wasn't sitting in the front row. Tara didn't have a Shining Wizards t-shirt on.
Uh-oh.
Tara is full of shit.
Woohoo!
Hot take. How do you like them apples?
No, I like it. I like the anger. I like the vigor and the venom.
Doesn't she live in Florida?
I think she comes up for the big shows.
Well!
I love it so much better when it's raw like that. Yeah. It's not a button.
And I could be wrong.
Yeah, probably.
But I'm pretty sure she said she was going to Bound for Glory and the TV tapings.
Ooh.
So I did not see her front row as she claimed. But I did.
Fraudulent.
But I did see former Shining Wizard Network member Dave Sturcio.
He announced the whole show, didn't he?
Yes, and you saw him at the beginning, just as he was like, they were opening the show. You saw him in the background. I saw him dip behind the curtain, and then the only match they showed him on TV for was the main event.
Ooh.
And he flubbed.
We're gonna ride him a little bit.
I'm not gonna ride him. Yeah, I mean,
God bless him. Fucking, it's a killer gig.
I can only imagine how nerve wracking it is to be in front of a crowd like that, knowing you're being announcing the main event with Johnny Morrison, Johnny Impact, whatever he's calling
Johnny
himself,
205.
Austin Aries, and then you're being seen on Fight TV and pay-per-view and all over the place.
And you mentioned the name of an old WWE cartoon.
What's that?
You don't remember Slam City?
Is that Hulk Hogan's?
No, it was like John Cena and all of them, and they were all like little figures.
I found one of those in my closet because one of you guys gave that to me for Christmas.
It was at the very beginning of the network. They used to run Slam City.
Oh, I think I have a Goldust one.
See? I'm not crazy.
They're like almost kind of like those like you sent us, like those new little micro brawlers, but like even smaller. They're like super tiny.
Yeah.
But and then they all have like real jobs or something like that? Was that the show?
Yes, John Cena was a mechanic.
Yeah, there it is.
It's coming back.
Slam City.
Didn't he work on Kane's car or something like that?
I never watched it.
Oh, I did. It was pretty bad.
Did you watch it with your kid?
No, I don't. We did watch what's the other one they did? Camp WWE?
Yeah.
Even though it was highly inappropriate and I probably shouldn't have watched it with him. Ric Flair running around with his pecker hanging out, yelling woo at everything.
Yeah, but they blur it out as pecker.
Well, I understand, but still, you get the idea.
And there's a rating on there, no?
Well, yeah, but, you know, LOL fatherhood.
So he being Dave Destruction, introduced Johnny Impact from Slam City, USA.
Was it supposed to be Slamtown?
Yes, Johnny Impact corrected him.
Okay, what's but it was funny the way it was done. Like, he leaned in with a little smirk on his face.
Yes, it was all taken with a grain of salt. Dave did an awesome job.
Did his voice come? Cause I watched as much as I could. I didn't catch the whole show.
Yeah, when you listen, you know it's Dave.
You know it's Dave?
Yeah, but he sounded perfect. You know, everything came across well.
Yeah, he was like, right on in the middle of the screen.
No, just for the main event.
Yeah, just for the main event.
I meant the entire show. Were you able
to? Couldn't really hear him for the rest of you know.
You could.
Bits and pieces.
I mean, he was pretty much just doing the announcing from somewhere.
Somewhere.
But it's great for him. No joke.
Fantastic.
When are we going to start seeing Fall of Baugh and KM on pay per view?
I have a bad feeling about the Fall of Baugh character.
Uh-oh,
what? KM may have got hurt, too, I read today.
Uh-oh.
On a dive.
I love Fall of Baugh.
We all do. He's awesome. Had him in the studio a few times.
He's in a great position right now.
Yes.
Where he's doing the comedy thing. Will he be able to escape that genre? Will he be able to go back to being a monster heel?
I think so.
Or is he going to be specifically the face Baugh guy who's just a comedy bit?
I think as long as that's over, I say you go with it. And it's one of the most over things. Like, he's one of the only guys that gets like a real true reaction because he has the gimmick, don't get me wrong. But he's one of the only guys that gets a true reaction when he comes out.
So, I think he's got the ability to turn it, though.
Oh, no, of course. And I was going to say, all it will take is just one moment to trigger him. And it's been done a million times before where the happy, jolly baby face all of a sudden just turns heel and just goes nuts.
Like, if he loses his shit on KM, drags him in the corner, gives him the bonsai.
Yeah, and just destroy. I mean,
KM comes across as such a dick.
I was going to say maybe not KM, but somebody else.
If you had the right storyline, you absolutely can.
Yeah.
Because he's gone from face to heel, hasn't he?
Before? Oh yeah, I guess on what scale? I don't know how he was a team when he debuted with Impact. He was with him and Mario Bokura, and I believe they were a heel tag team, but there wasn't really any steam behind them.
They were just kind of introduced and they were thrust into tag team competition.
Yeah, and then they were just kind of just presented and they would pretty much lose to a lot of different guys. But even before that, if you want to go indies, then yeah, he was a heel. And then he turned mega babyface and WrestlePro and all that stuff. But that's because it's the only company that I've ever seen him work, so that's the only reason why I mentioned it. But he can definitely do both.
Yeah, he's worked around. He fucked with me during my debut for Tier 1 Wrestling. Can't forget that, where he fucking threw my notes all over the floor. Ha ha, joke's on you, buddy. I picked him up and I continued to do the show.
And you ate him.
That's right.
Too bad nobody picked up Tier 1.
That's a shame, dude. I was thinking about it the other day. They just fucking disappeared. Just seriously.
Yeah. It happens.
Right. It happens. Bound for Glory? Come on, Bound for Glory. Let's get to some brass tacks here.
All right. What'd you think?
I overall enjoyed the show a lot.
If you were going to give it a grade.
Grade as a total show?
Yes.
I'd say at least a B, maybe a B+, because there were some things that brought it down.
Okay.
I like the whole alley thing. I don't know if I necessarily liked the fucking hatchet to the neck and everybody's popping out of coffins and the camera's shaking and...
You didn't like that?
I get why they did it. It just felt like a waste of pay-per-view time. Well, I completely understand why they did it.
Yeah, they had to take the ring apart and then they had to put it back together.
I get it, but...
I would have rather
have had them have a blow-off match. You know what I'm saying? Like, where during the match, all these girls that she killed, Su Yung had put in the casket already, just come out and they free Kira Hogan and she and fucking Allie wins the match and everybody's happy. And don't know. It was just a little creepy. James Mitchell? Awesome. Awesome. That was great for the segment. And a lot of this stuff was better acted than Moose and Eddie Edwards did last or 2 weeks ago. But, I don't know. The other thing that was, Eli Drake is a star. TNA. I've been saying it for a long time. He's a star. He should be world champion. He could make it in WWE, be a star in their shows, no problem. James Ellsworth, okay, squash, let him talk, whatever. The crowd hated him, good.
Oh, my God, yeah. they hate him.
They hated him a lot. Abyss coming out?
Well, that's because he's a Hall of Famer.
I get it.
And
it's
because the expectations were for somebody completely different.
But it's not even that it was Jericho, Kevin. It was like you're sacrificing somebody to a guy that is, like, for all intents and purposes now retired because he just went in the Hall of Fame.
I think he can recover from that very easily. I think it was just the, you know, Abyss's. I mean, it's for all intents and purposes, this is the WrestleMania.
No, I get it, but still, I don't know if Eli Drake was the right guy for that.
Well, he's been doing the open challenge for the last 4 weeks.
Yeah, but I don't know.
And he's bested everybody that he's gotten in the ring
with. But now, does this lead to Abyss getting one more run against Eli Drake?
No, I think it was an opportunity for Impact to parade Abyss out there. And if you're at the Bound for Glory and you're an Impact fan, and I don't think they do anything on the level of a WWE Hall of Fame ceremony.
Was that a bar in New York?
Yeah, or like some like little restaurant. They staged that fight with Impact and Aries there.
I loved it.
It was awesome. Everything they did for the Aries Impact match was amazing.
I love. As much as we'd say that MMA kind of takes from WWE in terms of staging all their shit, I love that WWE did it, I mean, or Impact did it right back and just staged like a bit like that happens in all the MMA fights. Everyone, they all get in each other's face, or the boxing fights.
Yeah.
They all get in each other's face. And when they did it for this, I thought it was perfect.
I think Impact really went above and beyond. They had Johnny and Taya on TMZ.
Yeah, I saw that.
Which was pretty huge for them.
And that came into like all the back and forth between Impact and Aries, which was cool.
I think the main event had a big fight feel to it.
It did, and the way that they fought, like they didn't really wrestle each other. Like they legit made it feel like that they were just out to get each other. Like with the little, like, he grabbed onto his elbow pad and he just kind of looked at him. And like Morrison went for a kick. I'm sorry, Impact went for a kick, but then he kind of fell down with it. Like it was all little goofy things like that that they tied in there that made it feel like it was a real fight and not staged, you know?
Absolutely.
How awesome was it when Impact jumped up on the ring apron and the railing?
Oh, outside.
And Aries went, and then he just kind of flipped over and kicked him in the head. That was awesome. There was a lot of awesome stuff on this show.
I thought the main event was awesome.
Well,
and I think that gets overshadowed by the finish.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, I know that Impact won, but I did not see.
Impact won, and he didn't even have his moment to celebrate because Aries no-sold it, rolled out of the ring, was on the apron, pointed up to Don Callis, and was like, "Are you happy now? Is this what you want?" He probably threw a go fuck yourself in there.
He did. He flipped in the doubles.
And then he pointed and said something to Morrison, Impact, whatever we're calling him, walked up the ramp, double birded everybody, and left.
Yep.
Killer Cross and Moose looked like they had no idea what was going on.
On purpose or no?
Work, right? It's got to be a work.
He's a free agent. He's not under contract anymore.
Or do you think maybe he is and he's just doing this? It did take away from Impact's moment, dude. Like, you build to all this and it just felt like they kind of shit the bed with the ending.
And the promos before the match where Aries is calling Boone the Bounty Hunter a piece of shit B-movie.
Yes.
Like, they were really like...
They made it feel like they hated each other's guts.
Yeah.
It's got to be a work. It's always a work.
But why would you ruin that? You know what I'm saying?
It was very weird. The way it went down, and Petey Williams went on his podcast and he said that Aries is a free agent. He's no longer under contract with Impact Wrestling. He hasn't been at the TV tapings. He's not at the tapings.
Oh, that's right. I did read that he wasn't there yesterday.
So it's very interesting to see what happens. He's still the belt collector. He still has a couple other championships. I don't know.
Who knows? I really don't know either. It was just a weird ending to it, like an overall, like, fantastic show. Two people impressed the shit out of me.
Two?
Yes. Well, right. Two that I can think of right now. The runner-up Willie Mack. Holy cow, that guy's amazing. When he's in the corner and he does like the, he's supposed to do the float over, but he just kind of like does the handstand and he's making his legs clap in midair. Amazing, amazing stuff. That dude can move for a big son of a bitch.
Yes, he can.
I love Holy that match. I mentioned that in our group chat. It's one of the first. It was absolutely amazing.
And when what's
that spot when they did like the Frankenstein? It was like a Frankensteiner, but then Rich Swann landed on him, and then maybe Frank. I forget what it was.
Yeah. Who was
Matt Sydal?
Matt Sydal did something to him off the top, but then he jumped. Oh, no.
He landed on someone's shoulders.
He got thrown off the top and did a Frankensteiner to the other guy.
To Ethan Page.
That was it. That was a great spot. And the other one, when he did the third eye thing, when he hit him from under the apron, and he came out, and Ethan Page and him were standing over Rich Swann, and all of a sudden, that big bastard just comes cannonballing off the apron and takes everybody out.
And his cannonball, into the corner. Like, you know, like how, like, guys like Moff will do, like, the cannonball. His is, like, he's like a swan dive into his into them. It was awesome.
Did he land on his feet, too, when he did that?
He did the thing where I hope I'm not confusing this with something else. He does, like, the Finley roll and then popped up.
Yeah, but he's in, like, midair. Like, he's, like, top turnbuckle high when he's doing this. Like, it was amazing.
Yeah. I have a whole, like, and I watched Willie Mack on Lucha Underground, like when it first was on and everything. Dude, he's awesome. He's got to be signed at some point soon.
But he's my runner up because my favorite guy of the entire night was Phoenix. Phoenix, when he flies, dude, he looks like poetry in motion. Like, he's just like, he floats there. Like it feels like time stops when he's in the air. And he came off the ropes at one point and he spun and he hit somebody with a headbutt. He looked amazing.
Yeah,
amazing.
He's super. Super talented. That match was unbelievable.
Yeah, they beat the hell out of each other.
Yeah, and I saw someone counted it. That last sequence, Brian Cage took 40 super kicks to the face.
Huh. Yeah, why though?
Like, super kick party, baby.
And the pile driver at the end was a little.
Because Brian Cage is the machine, and he's never been beaten yet, and that's what we're going with, and Sammy Callahan has been the first person to pin Brian Cage's shoulders to the mat.
Was it 40 kicks? 42?
40 between the three of them.
Jesus.
Is Cage still the Impact X Division champ?
He is.
And he got pinned?
Ooh. He got pinned.
I like how they're making that belt a little bit more than just a cruiserweight belt.
Yes, absolutely. Well, it's supposed to be no limits.
Yeah.
No limit, baby.
But it actually almost seems like it's going to be like featured as like, you know, an IC or a US or what they, or when they had the television or something like that.
Yeah, absolutely.
So.
And
like
he's a big motherfucker.
Yes,
guy.
He is.
He is a big boy.
Holy cow. The things he could do for his size, unbelievable.
Every time I see him, I think his skin's going to rip.
Oh, right. Yeah. He's busting through, dude.
He's gross.
One other thing.
It's fucking, he's gross to look at.
Really? He's a machine, dude.
Shredded, dude.
One thing I didn't like, it seems like there's stunners and cutters now have taken the place of DDTs. An Impact.
Yeah, and I watched Ring of Honor, Glory by Honor, too, and I felt like every other word. Actually, I watched that, and I didn't see all of Impact, or Bound for Glory, but it seems like every other word out of someone's mouth is cutter now.
Cutter's it's a big one now. Yeah. It's a big move.
I mean, I get it because it's easy to hit, but you kind of like, it's like with the DDT, you do it too much, it's got no value. And can Don Callis stop saying Jesus for every spot that he gets scared of or impressed with?
Jesus!
But it's not even like that emphatic. He just throws it around like, look at that, or oh my, or like, Jesus, Jesus.
Maybe that's a genuine reaction.
I don't know.
No, I agree with Tony.
It's a lot. It's like, Jesus, Jesus,
and it's like that, and when commentators just like, when they react, they just go, like, Renee Young is guilty of this
a
lot. Oh,
she's bad.
And even like,
did I mention that last week?
Yeah, every week since she started.
She's bad.
But like when the commentators just go, oh, or like, ah, or just like when they just react and just don't say words to it.
Yeah.
It's
you can't
annoying.
Do that all the time. You have to save that for like the holy shit moments.
Yeah. And just do your best. I mean, I understand it's a pretty whatever is happening is pretty cool and you probably weren't expecting it, but you got to put it in check.
And you know what's overused as well? Creating separation. Oh, God, do I hate creating separation. Trying to find his way, trying to catch his breath, trying to get some energy back, trying to get the blood flowing. There's so many euphemisms you can use, but everybody goes back to, he's creating separation.
Yeah, once, you've done commentary, I've never done it, but you gotta know what you've said already. Like, you gotta, like, even if you can just write down, like, I mean, I know it's, again, I've never done it.
If I said he's feeling it, more than once, I got annoyed with myself.
And you probably said it a lot.
The second time I said it, I said, okay, I can't say it anymore.
Yeah.
I get that you hook on to things that sound good. But if you use it too much, like the stunner or like the cutter, it loses all of its meaning. It just annoyed me that he kept saying Jesus. Like every match was like 50 Jesuses. I thought he was coming back to smite everyone. He said it so many times.
Don Callis could bring Jesus back.
Well, Don Callis apparently isn't going back to New Japan either, as an aside.
Jesus!
There he is.
I heard a good friend of ours, Mr. Leaping Lanny Poffo, was going to be brought in for one of the New Japan shows.
He was mentioned on Ring of Honor. Oh, because he was with Flip.
Probably, right?
Yes.
Yeah, he was mentioned on Glory by Honor.
He can flip his penis into his mouth.
Before Lance Archer calls in.
Yes.
The fucking concrete jungle match.
The only
Holy
thing.
Holy shit.
Yes. Harsh, rough, like the superplex and all the other stuff. Yo, when you're taking the mats off, you got to figure out something with the boards. Got to figure something out.
They pointed it out after whoever spit them crazy rhymes at the beginning of the match.
That was pretty cool.
Oh, the guy that does LAX's theme song.
When they're all like huddled up and they were all chanting or whatever. I even forgot what it was.
Before the
was
bell even cool. rang, there was a board that was like already up in the air. Like, fuck, I mean.
Well, here's the other thing. Somebody started running the ropes and the boards just kind of slid back toward the ramp. Let me break the 17th wall. Usually those boards will have a tab underneath. So when you slide them into place, they sort of lock so they won't shift like back and forth. But apparently these boards had nothing of the sort.
Boards like the wooden planks?
The wooden planks, yeah. They usually have like there's like another piece of wood that runs across the bottom of each one, like a lip. So this way, if it shifts back and forth, it hits the metal frame of the ring and it doesn't slide out of place. You know what I'm saying?
No, I've never seen that.
Do you get what I'm trying to explain?
I understand what you're trying
to say. I've just never seen it.
It's like, okay, it's like the board goes across the two metal sides of the ring, right?
I said, yeah.
There's two little pieces of wood that go under each plank that just stick out maybe a half an inch.
And
they keep the boards from sliding back and forth.
Not for an NXT ring.
Really?
No.
Well, you know what it is, too? There's so much padding and whatever they have on there now that there's probably not even consideration because they also tie the canvas down nice and tight.
Yeah.
So maybe it's not a consideration anymore. But I know when I was coming up, all that stuff all had the tabs on.
Yeah, when I did the NXT show, it was just wooden planks, and that was it.
Well, then again, if you're going to have a match with no padding and no canvas and no apron, you kind of have to figure that out, you know?
Holy moly. It was awkward to watch just because I was... You're seeing these guys go up, and the planks are moving, and you're like, oh, my God, someone's going to fall through these fucking planks.
Yep.
Someone's going to get seriously hurt. Like, props to Impact. I've never seen a match like that.
It was wild.
And I don't know if I want to say maybe Evolve did something like that, and it almost cost Timothy Thatcher his career. Like, he got, like, legit hurt.
Is that when his leg didn't fall through?
No, that was Redbeard.
Oh, God, fuck.
Setting up a ring.
Yeah.
But man, this match was sick.
It was.
Because I know Conan got jumped earlier in the show. Did he come back and do something?
He did come back out with a sock.
Full of pennies?
They speculated it had an eight ball inside it. I don't know if they meant coke or if they meant
Why not just bring out an eight ball and just slam somebody in the head with it? Why
hey,
you
Vato,
put a sock
hit
on
this,
it?
Man. Because you could swing it.
Yeah.
It's like Bad Boys when he puts all the soda cans in the pillowcase and he beats the shit out of people.
That's the best.
You find it a little weird that Hernandez is doing like the suck it to everybody?
Yeah.
He was kind of up on his tiptoes doing it too. I'm like, look at this big jackass, the way he looks doing this.
Listen, he invented it so he could use it all he wants.
Look, I was laughing. Like, I'm like this big guy doing this.
He didn't
this.
Invent it.
I know. I know-sold it.
You definitely know-sold it. Piece of shit.
Kevin Garifo, star of two podcasts.
That we haven't aired in 3 weeks.
I know. I was disappointed. I was looking
forward
to a
tomorrow.
Show. After you told us Tuesday that there was a new episode coming Thursday.
We're recording tomorrow. Sorry.
There you go.
Yeah, it is what it is.
That's the scoop.
But the Conan usage was perfect. because he can't move.
No, he looks awful.
He's like just rotund. I was going to say grotesque, but
it's
I like
to use
rotund.
It's like a bullfrog.
Yeah.
Isn't he taking bookings now, though, to work again? Because didn't he have those surgeries to try to get back to wrestling?
Yeah, but like you see like the SWF runs those shows and like all those guys get booked and they essentially are in like an 8-man tag match and they get the hot tag and they do the finisher.
Tequila Sunrise, one of my favorite finishers of all
time. Yeah, like
he'll
throw a couple punches, set the guy up, take him down, Tequila Sunrise, boom, done.
Love the Tequila Sunrise.
And everybody else tries to get in to break it up and all the faces come in and they fight him off and he taps out and they all pick him up and celebrate.
Conan actually had some good Conan had some good moves. Conan was really good.
Conan was very innovative.
He had that cradle DDT finisher, the Tequila Sunrise, and then he stole the X-Factor from X-Pac. But other than that, I love Conan.
No arguments here.
Oh, Bound for Glory was awesome.
Yeah.
At the end of the day.
The women's match, I felt, was a little long, but those girls beat the hell out of women. Knockouts beat the hell out of each other.
Are they still called knockouts?
Yes.
Yeah.
And I like the knockouts belt. I think that's a cool shape for a belt.
Okay.
It's a perfect women's championship belt.
Yes.
Agreed.
Yes. Don't be sorry.
Yes. I have to be. Otherwise, you'll hit me.
No, that's won't hit you.
Hashtag me
too.
You're
going to beat that ass.
Oh, easy.
Tessa Blanchard she'll be in the WWE as soon as her Impact contract is up.
Yeah, and they did an interview on the street. They did a lot of stuff on the streets in New York. The entire intro was LAX.
Oh, that was awesome, too.
And how about Eddie Kingston? Man, they had Giuliani for a mayor.
How about everyone yelling, saying fuck to each other?
Oh, Taya Valkyrie told them to go fuck himself.
Pay-per-view, baby.
LAX was yelling fuck you to the OGs. It was awesome.
Yeah. It
it had a really cool vibe to it.
Didn't Santana spit in somebody's face?
He did.
And with that, it's time for our guest.
Ladies and gentlemen, joining us now on the Shining Wizards Hotline, he's a 3-time IWGP Tag Team Champion with the one and only Davey Boy Smith Jr. He is Mr. Lance Archer. How are you tonight, sir?
I'm good. How are you guys doing?
Good. Thank you for taking the time out of your crazy schedule to join us tonight, talk a little pro wrestling and some killer Elite Squad. The first thing I want to talk about, a couple weeks ago they had that New Japan show in Long Beach, and right. Jim Ross made an amazing comparison to the Killer Elite Squad, and he compared you guys to a modern-day Bruiser Brody Stan Hansen. I mean, if that's not a feather in your cap, I don't know what is.
Well, yeah, absolutely. You know, he did take a little shot at me during the program, too, saying, you know, the only thing wrong with me was that I was from Texas. But, you know, Texas Longhorns beat the Oklahoma Sooners that weekend, so I'm okay with it.
I actually watched that game. That was actually a pretty big upset because Texas hadn't been – or they were, like, what, number 24? Or were they even ranked? Or
Yeah, they were ranked at the time. But, yeah. You know, beating Oklahoma definitely stepped their game up. It looked like they were going to roll over them big and easy, and then they let them come back, and then they, you know, won with that field goal at the end. So it was a pretty exciting game. It was actually really fun to watch if you're a football fan.
All right, clearly, now that we got you, I know we only have you for a little bit, but now that we talked about sports, me and Matt are big sports fans. What's your NFL team?
I'm a Chargers fan, actually.
Really? Now, yep. L.A., though.
Well, you know, I'm not really happy that they moved to L.A., but at the same time, you know, I've been a San Diego Chargers fan for years and years and years from, like, the Marion Butts days and way back then. You know, so I just guess it had to kind of carry over. There wasn't really another team that I was looking to follow, and so I'm just kind of stuck with them.
They'll be a wild card team this year, I think.
Well, they're doing pretty good right now, 4-2, right behind the Chiefs, so we'll see what happens.
Yep.
They play in a tough division.
Yeah, the Chiefs have been unbelievable. Yeah. That was a heartbreaker for the Chiefs, too.
Oh, yeah, big time. But, you know, I was glad it was a heartbreaker simply for the fact that it helps my charge out.
Back to wrestling.
Absolutely.
All right.
So one half of the Killer Elite Squad, where did the name come from?
It was just a combination. You know, Davey Boy Smith, Harry and I were, you know, I'd been with the company for about a year at that point, and they told me that he was coming in and that we're going to be a team, you know, a part of Suzuki-Gun, Minoru Suzuki's group. And since we were going to be teaming up, you know, a lot of the most famous tag teams in professional wrestling have always had kind of a team name. And so I asked if that was something that we could do, and they said, yeah, no problem. So Smith and I kind of got together, and we put it together, and we agreed on it, and the rest is history.
And did you guys have a kind of – you guys were in WWE at the same time. Did you guys – is that where that relationship kind of formed? Did you always have like an idea that maybe you wanted the team together, or was that something maybe when you were
Absolutely. Well, we knew each other, yeah, because obviously, we worked in the same company together. You know, obviously he was doing other things with TJ, Tyson Kidd. We'd wrestled against him when I was teaming with Curt Hawkins a few times and, you know, house shows and stuff like that. But you really didn't know each other. And like I said, he'd been a part of New Japan once before when he was like 19 years old, before he did any of his WWE stuff. And then, you know, he got signed on with WWE and he'd done all that. And like I said, I'd been with the company, New Japan, since June of 2011. And then they brought him in September of 2012. So, you know, like I said, they'd had the idea of putting us together. We didn't have any knowledge that that was going to be going down. Actually, I pitched an idea going into that year's Wrestle Kingdom. And then they were like, yeah, that's really good. But we're bringing in Harry Smith and you guys are going to be a team. And I was like, oh, okay, cool, whatever. And like I said, Harry and I were both at a point in our careers. I think we're both trying to prove ourselves to the business. You know, myself, I've been a very short time in WWE, 5 years before that with TNA, and now with New Japan, really still trying to prove myself in the business. And I think you had two guys that were really hungry for that chance, for that opportunity to really prove themselves. You know, Smith had a much more successful run in his WWE time, but I still think he was trying to branch out on his own. And with his father's history in Japan, it was kind of coming full circle in that sense. And I think he saw it as an opportunity as well. So we just both took it upon ourselves to do everything we could to make the team successful and efforts to make each of ourselves successful.
And you speak of successful. You said you've been with New Japan Pro Wrestling since 2011. Is it any surprise to you to see the level of success that New Japan as a whole has had in the last 2-3 years? And for you to be a part of that, how much does that mean to you?
Right. You know, and it means a lot. But at the same time, you know, it's one of those things, like when I joined them in 2011, it was a company that was doing extremely well, but, you know, pretty much only in Japan. You know, they had people that did follow New Japan, but you still had to read on about it on the internet. You had to really search for what little was available through like YouTube and stuff of that nature. So it was kind of hard if you weren't in Japan to watch New Japan Pro Wrestling. And then, you know, we were actually sent on an excursion. The Suzuki Goon group, the whole group, was loaned out by New Japan to Pro Wrestling NOAH for like 2 years. And that's when the company really started to explode, because they started New Japan World. They started traveling and doing stuff more outside of the country, working more heavily with Ring of Honor. So the company itself started to grow in a way that, you know, when we were there before, it was what it was, but it was, again, primarily just in Japan. And then, like I said, while we were in NOAH, the company's relationship with Ring of Honor expanded. New Japan World started. All the things that started getting New Japan Pro Wrestling to the rest of the world in a much more easy fashion. And so when we came back, you know, it was already on that big roll. It already started going strong. Actually, there's people, it was kind of funny that when Harry and I re-debuted with the company, and they were almost like, well, where'd these guys come from? You know, how, you know, who thought to put them together? And we'd already been together, you know, since 2012, and held the IWGP tag titles a couple of different times, but because they were all new fans who just started watching New Japan Pro Wrestling from its explosion with New Japan World and all that stuff. It was kind of cool for us to kind of rejoin the company after being gone for 2 years. But at the same time, it was almost like it was a brand new company with what had happened and how much it had grown. You know, and it's even taken new and bigger steps right now with the new president and things like that.
Right. And you kind of touched on this, but explain to us about how the process works. Like, how do workers from America get to New Japan? Is it that accessible, or do they reach out to you? Do you reach out to them? Are there connections being made through other people? Like, how does New Japan decide who they want to bring over to their company?
I don't think there's any clear-cut answer. It's show business, man. So it just depends on who you know, when you know, and if you're in the right place at the right time. It's all about timing. They say that all the time in the business of professional wrestling and the entertainment business. You know, when I started in 2011, there were only a handful of foreigners, Gaijin, with the company. You had Matt or Baldo or Giant Bernard or Tenzai or whatever you know him as. A-Train from when his WWE days, he was there with the company. Carl Anderson, who was teaming with him at the time, was part of the company. Devitt, or, you know, Finn Balor, however you want to know him as, he was there with the company. Tamatanga was there, but he was still just like a young boy. Fale was there, but he was just a young boy at the time. So, you know, you had all these guys. You had a very small number of foreigners. I had worked in Japan prior to, with All Japan and some smaller independents. And then when my time with WWE ended, I reached out to those people that had helped me get into Japan the first time and said, you know, I'd like to go back there. The relationship with All Japan didn't expand like I was hoping it, and I asked them to reach out to New Japan. I think at the time, New Japan only knew that, you know, the person that was speaking to them was like, hey, you know, he's a former WWE guy, he's a big dude, maybe take a look at him, and they agreed upon it. And then they did a very early on U.S. excursion where they came to New York and Philadelphia in 2011, and they asked me to come and basically help start the angle that would allow me to be seen in the company. When I got to Philadelphia, it was almost one of those things where I'd met a lot of the same people because they'd come and done stuff at TNA back in the day. When I was at WWE, anytime they were in New York, Tiger Tori would come to the shows and whatnot. I'd worked with the likes of Kojima and Suzuki and all these guys in All Japan when I was there before. So it went from me to kind of being an outsider and an unknown to, oh, they knew me and they knew what I'd done and they knew who I was and things like that. And it went from, I was only supposed to have a one shot spot, you know, an attempt to see if they still like me. It turned into, oh, can you just stay here for a couple weeks? And then now it's turned into 7 years.
Seven super successful years. You mentioned being part of Suzuki Goon. Mm-hmm. Is Minoru that in him in the ring? Is that like him all the time? 'Cause he looks like, and acts like a psychopath, and he scares the shit out of me. Every time I see him, I know he's not going to come through the TV, but goddamn, I would hate to see him in a back alley.
You know, that's the funny, that's the beauty of pro wrestling, man, you know, because luckily for most people, that I'm not the same guy that I am. You know, I don't come throwing water at people and scaring children and, you know, body slamming them. And he's kind of the same sense. You know, he's a legit badass. Don't take me wrong. You know, if and when you decided to pick a fight with him and he grabbed you the wrong way, you'd probably regret ever doing it. But at the same time, like, he's been one of the most supportive people in my time in Japan, you know, because as being a part of Suzuki Goon, he kind of takes care of us like family. He has his own company called Pile Driver and makes all of his own, you know, t-shirts and stuff like that. I could probably spread all the t-shirts and jumpsuits and summer wear and all the stuff that he's given to us over an entire room if I really wanted to. And, you know, anytime we're out and about in one of these small Japanese towns, if he's got somebody that's taking care of him, he usually brings us along and helps take care of us because he knows with the foreigners, you know, it's a lot more difficult to get out and find food and stuff like that, especially when you're in the smaller towns of Japan. So the person he is outside of the ring is very caring and very helpful. But you definitely don't want to cross him because, you know, like I said, he's got that real background. And if you piss him off, there's a good chance he might twist you into a pretzel and make you squeal.
Now, you mentioned being over in Japan, and we've heard the stories of the people who were like sponsors, and then they like they want you to beat them up or, you know, sing karaoke with them. Do you have like any fun like sponsor stories from being over there?
Oh, man. I mean, there's tons of those in the sense that, you know, like you said, the karaoke. I've never had anybody want me to beat them up. Definitely chopped some people to the point where they didn't want to partake in that ever again. But as far as the going out and the eating the amazing foods, you know, I've been treated to so many different amazing foods that I would never have been even thought of doing or had an opportunity to eat in my lifetime if I hadn't been taken out with some of these sponsors. From, you know, the Blowfish, where you have to go to the special sushi chef that, you know, is licensed to even cut it, to one of my favorite delicacies, which is raw horse meat, which most Americans absolutely hate the idea of eating, and I think it's one of the best things in the world. And, you know, to one of the oldest fine steak shops in Tokyo that's been there, you know, like 150 plus years and stuff like that. You know, just things that I would have never even thought of and had an opportunity to do. You know, and it's one of those things that makes Japanese wrestling fan base that much more fun is the sponsors that take you out and take care of you and treat you and make sure that, you know, you're having the best time of your life. And you can go out with these gentlemen and not even be able to speak a word to each other because a lot of them are very old school Japanese and they don't have a lot of English in their vocabulary. But you can still have the best time in the world having a few drinks and eating some of the best food in the world. And it's one of the coolest experiences. I think anybody that's, you know, an American and now really anybody from around the world, when they get a chance to go and wrestle in Japan, when they get that first real opportunity to be with a true sponsor that takes care of everything and just wants to have a good time and everybody's laughing and you're singing karaoke till 4 o'clock in the morning in a private room, you know, I think it's one of the coolest experiences in the world.
Now, this is a wrestling podcast and there's no video. When you said raw horse meat, we all yes. went into like the thinker pose. So I like, how is that served? Is it served almost like a tartar or what do they do to it? I'm very interested. And what does it taste like?
Right. You know, most of the time, because I've had it as like sushi style where it's put on the rice, and then I've also just had it where it's like sashimi style where it's just the meat by itself, and it's usually displayed in a very cool and pretty way on a special plate, and it's very fresh, extremely fresh. It's chilled and it's sauced, and then you eat it, and depending on the sauces, from sometimes they put a little sweeter sauce on it, sometimes a little bit more of a salty sauce. And then it's just, you know, you can have some rice with it if you want or whatever you want to eat it with, a lot of different vegetables because they do eat a lot of vegetables in Japan. It's just one of those things, man. I absolutely love it. It's hard to explain as far as how does it taste. Like I said, it's got a cold texture to it because it's kept cold, so it's kept fresh. Like I said, depending on the sauces, it's always got kind of a sweeter, salty sauce that's on it, so it gives it kind of that taste that you're eating it with. And it's, to me, it's one of the best things where I can eat just tons and tons of it. Sometimes fans will actually have it prepackaged and sent to the locker rooms and you just hover around a bunch of guys eating it. One of the cool stories or funny stories, I guess you could say, with that is Shelton Benjamin, who was in Japan for a long time with us, a part of Suzuki-gun, now back with WWE, had come to one of the locker rooms and they had the horse sashimi there. And, you know, he's like, what is this? And they're like, oh, it's good. Just try it. He's like, well, what is it? And I'm like, no, just try it. It's good. He's like, okay, I'll try it. And, you know, so he takes a little bit in his chopsticks and he picks up a little piece and he dips it in the soy sauce and eats it. And he's like, oh, you know, he knew it was something raw and it was a meat and it's red. So he's thinking maybe it's some kind of beef. And, you know, he ate it and he's like, oh, that's not bad. You know, and he's like, well, what is it? And he went, oh, it's horse. And just immediately he was just like, no, you do not eat horse. Horses are pets. They're not food. And they're like, what? No, we eat them here. And we're just all laughing and whatnot. So anytime they brought horse around, he just absolutely refused to eat it. But we'd always eat it and try to make him eat it and stuff like that. And he'd just be like, no, this is horrible. You can't eat horses. They're not food. They're pets.
And that blowfish you mentioned with the chefs that have to be licensed, because if they don't cut it the yeah. right way, that could like seriously, seriously harm you, right?
Yeah, seriously harm you to kill you.
Yeah, that's what I thought. Yeah, you
know, yeah, so, that was, like I said, I didn't have a bad experience. You know, obviously the chef that cut it for us and gave us, and it was a very small piece, and it was only one piece. You know, it wasn't like I was eating it all night or anything like that, because that'd probably be pretty dangerous. But, you know, the one small piece I had was fine. It didn't affect me any. I didn't have any tingles or nothing like that. I've heard horror stories where people eat them and, you know, within 20 minutes their fingers are tingling and stuff like that. And luckily I didn't experience any of that.
That sounds horrifying.
Yeah.
Yeah, a little bit. I got enough issues. I don't need to be worrying about that when I'm eating. You mentioned the water spitting thing, and I saw you put something on Twitter a week or so ago.
Uh-huh.
Has New Japan, have they asked you to stop doing that? Because I think that was one of the best entrances ever where you're just, I mean, spitting water in people's faces.
I think it's one of the best entrances ever. Most of the fan base would agree with you there. You know, as new people come in power, there's new rules and regulations that come about. And unfortunately, at this point, that's one of the things that I'm not allowed to do, because I guess there were some complaints, even though it might have been the minority viewpoint of it. Those are the ones that are being listened to. And at this point, I'm not allowed to do it, though.
And of course, we are on the line with Lance Hoyt, Lance Archer, Vance Archer, Dallas. however you want to remember him. He's had a hell of a career, and I've been following your career since you came across across our TVs on I think it was TNA, and you've been able to do all these different things, whether it was Dallas, uh-huh. whether it was Rock and Rave, or whether it was, you know, the Gatecrashers, right. or even Vance Archer in ECW.
Mm-hmm.
And now, of course, the most success probably in your career with the Killer Elite Squad. What does it take for performers to just reinvent? Do they have to, is it a process where they have to sit down and just like go to the drawing board? Is it just something that you just innately have? What does it take for a performer to just constantly improve and reinvent themselves?
You know, the one thing that I tell guys and girls all the time, if they're asking those kind of questions, is perseverance, you know, because I've been fired by the top companies in the business at different times for different reasons. And if you allow that to control you and bring you down and let your mindset to be like, well, I've failed, so I can't do anything else, then you will fail and you have failed. But if you just basically look at it as, well, that's one chapter, I've got to make a new chapter, and what do I got to do to continue to move forward? And that's what I've always done each and every moment of my career, which is providing me opportunities, like you said, to wrestle for TNA when it was in its better days, in my opinion, you know, WWE at different times. You know, obviously with New Japan since 2011, I've had a chance to work in Mexico. I've had chances to work pretty much all over the world, and work with some of the best talent in the world. And luckily enough, and to some people's chagrin, I've stuck around longer than maybe they wanted, but you know, it's because I persevered. And, you know, as far as reinventing myself in Japan, it was one of those things. Like, the cool thing about working for New Japan, especially when I first started, was there was never a no. It was always like, yes, that's good, but we want more monster, more big, more strong. That's all what I always heard every time I went out and had a performance. They would be happy with what I was doing, but they'd be like, yeah, but more. And, you know, earlier on in my career, there was a lot of, yeah, that's cool, but don't do this, don't do that. You know, there was a lot of restrictions in my time in WWE from 2009 to 2011. You know, it was a different time in the company, and everything was very cookie cutter, and Linda was running for the office, and, you know, so they were very mindful of the television product and everything that was involved in it. I think that they've loosened up a lot in the last few years, and I think that's helped their product and their wrestling as a whole. But when I was there, it was very, very restrictive. So there was a lot of no's, don't do that. And when I got to Japan, it was very much a, yeah, that's good, but more, bigger, stronger, more monster. You know, that was the one thing I heard more and more every time I wrestled, was more monster. And because of that, it helped me create a confidence and a design and a desire for what I call the American Psycho Lance Archer. And so it's been fun. It's been a fun ride and a fun experience. And even the water thing was kind of, it just kind of grew. It went from me spitting water at one of the guys in the ring to adding it a little bit to the entrance to spitting it as I entered, and then basically running around the arena and people holding their children up, hoping that I would spray their children with my holy water, as some people were calling it. And, you know, unfortunately, that's, you know, I see the company, it's growing, and it's looking outside of just Japan. And so, you know, it is what it is, and who knows, maybe it'll get an opportunity to return, but as of right now, it's not there. But I just have to kind of keep reinventing myself, figure out a new way to do what I do and continue to have people stay interested to whatever degree.
Absolutely. It certainly took on a life of its own. Before we let you go, uh-huh. I know, one of your, runs in WWE was involved with Curt Hawkins. And mm-hmm. and my gimmick on this kind of show is, like, I'm a big Curt Hawkins mark.
It's not a gimmick.
It's true. I'm a big Curt Hawkins mark. We've had him on the show. He's a great guy. So let me talk about your time with the Gatecrashers and Curt Hawkins. And do you have any funny Curt Hawkins stories?
You know, I guess the greatest story, first off, the Gatecrashers was a very unofficial name. It was never even something we were ever called
right.
on TV or, you know, officially of any sorts. It was just something that kind of took a life of its own. You know, actually, when I first arrived at FCW, Curt, who had been with the company for a long time and had a good run with the company, was on one of those times when the company wasn't using him, and then his effort, and it was a good choice, to stay within the company's I and continue to grow and not just be sitting at home and then maybe go, why is he sitting at home? Let's get rid of him. He went down to Florida and started at FCW. He wasn't a developmental talent. He just chose to do that in efforts, like I said, to, you know, kind of keep himself motivated, keep himself moving and so on and so forth. Anyway, when I first arrived at FCW, he actually pitched the idea of him and I being a team. You know, and I just arrived with the company. So they were like, yeah, that's cool. But, you know, not right now. We don't know what we want to do with him. And again, they still didn't know what they wanted to do with Kurt at the time as well. You know, and then fast forward after my time with ECW, ECW shuts down. Then the original NXT started. I was on the road with WWE, but I wasn't doing anything. You know, I'd worked dark matches here and there. I was lucky enough to be a part of one WrestleMania. And then it wasn't too far after that first WrestleMania that I was part of that I was arriving at the hotel. I don't even remember where we were. And Kurt messaged me. He's like, hey, man, where are you at? And I was like, oh, I'm just getting to the hotel in Raleigh or somewhere, let's say. And he goes, okay, cool, man, I'm here. And I was like, oh, awesome, man. And you got you on the road this week? What's going on? And he goes, hey, he's like, you know, that idea that I pitched when you first arrived, well, that's what we're doing. And, you know, we started, it was supposed to be filmed with a bunch of vignettes and whatnot. And it got turned into just us working a dark match and then us just debuting on Superstars and then us just debuting on SmackDown. There wasn't a whole lot of thought behind it. But it was kind of fun at the beginning, especially because they were really behind us. I remember walking by Vince one time, and he's like, ah, you guys are kicking ass. That's good. And he just walked off. And he was just like, okay, that's Vince. You know, and, initially it was really cool, but we kind of got caught up in the SummerSlam builds. And unfortunately, we weren't a part of that. And then sometime after that, they just decided they didn't like the team anymore. And it was just, you know, it was one of those weird situations. It was WWE as a whole. You never know what's going on. And either you get in a rocket ship stuck up your butt and you didn't know it was going to be stuck up there, or they're basically putting the chains on you and you're throwing you in the deep end of the water and going, all right, see you later, kid.
Nice.
Amazing. We're talking to Lance Hoyt, Lance Archer. He's got a Twitter, @ Lance Hoyt. He also has a couple Killer Elite Squad
handles.
Yes, that he is associated with. @ K Elite Squad, and then @ INC _ KES. He's got an Instagram, Instagram.com / Lance _ Hoyt. Hoyt?
Right.
Why did I say that like that?
You're stumbling over that.
Oh, God. We got it.
You guys don't have to wait for Killer Elite Squad to show up on New Japan Pro Wrestling streaming services. This Friday night, Big Time Wrestling in California, North California, they'll be part of the Big Time Wrestling 22nd anniversary show, taking on Reno Scum. Before we let you go, Lance, can you tell us a little bit about being part of this huge event for Big Time Wrestling?
Oh, man. You know, Smith and I don't have a lot of appearances on U.S. soil as a team. You know, we've had a few runs with ROH and a couple different places here and there. So this is actually really, if you're a Killer Elite Squad fan, if you're a New Japan Pro Wrestling fan, this is one of the few opportunities you get to see Smith and I as a team on U.S. soil. So I definitely suggest no one miss out on us coming to BTW out there in Newark, California. We've been slated to wrestle against Reno Scum a couple different times, and it's fell through for a couple different reasons. One was an injury I had, and you know, another one, I don't remember what the situation was. So this is a long-awaited rivalry that has never happened that starts on Friday night. And, you know, Reno Scum, I've known them from a while, from working at FSW in Las Vegas to, you know, they did some stuff with GFW back when GFW was first starting to film and whatnot. So this is our first fight, and it's going to be a big, bad, brutal one. So everybody should come out.
And if you need to get your tickets, go to btwrestling.com. Lance, before we let you go, is there anything else you'd like to let your fans know out there?
No, man. I appreciate you guys having me on. You know, I used to do these a long time ago, and the one thing I would always say is I wish the fans would stop seeing the negative and just have fun and find the positive in the business. And, you know, I think they're actually doing that these days, which is kind of the reason the business as a whole, from, you know, the smallest independents seeing a boom in their business to some of these mega independent shows, these super indies, as you want to call them, around the country and around the world that are seeing booms in their business. And it's helping create so much fun professional wrestling for the fans, for the wrestlers. It's giving options and opportunities for guys that would never have them before. So for my message is just keep that up. Keep having fun. Quit. Don't look at the negative. Just find the positive and go out and have a good time.
Couldn't have said it better myself.
Perfect.
It is an amazing time to be a wrestling fan. There's something for everybody out there. Just sit back, enjoy it. Get away from the aggravation of real life.
From dick flips to choke slams, enjoy what you like.
Lance, it has been a pleasure. Thank you so much.
Perfect way to end the interview.
Hopefully we can do this again sometime soon.
All right, man. I appreciate you guys having me on.
Take care. Lance. Our pleasure. Thank you, Lance.
All right. Good night.
Mr. Lance Hoyt. I don't know why I said his name weird.
Hoyt.
Jesus.
You almost said it was like the hotel, like it was a Hyatt.
Oh, God.
Because you know why? Damn. You're looking at the Instagram on the wall there, and it's just like dashes, dots, underscores, and I think anything that's punctuation throws Matt off.
That's right. Matt does not understand dots and dashes or commas or splices.
I'm glad, though, that Matt asked him about the life in Japan, because that was like the only thing that I was curious about personally. Of course, I want to hear about his career, but that always fascinates me, guys that go to Japan, like what it's like for them.
Right.
I can't imagine it's a lot different for everybody, but because it's
just gotta be. Like, he just mentioned people paying for him to drink and eat and do karaoke for 5 hours.
That's amazing.
That's like insane.
Unbelievable.
But like, I was there's certain guys that you guys know that you claim that you just like take notice of and you enjoy what they do. And I'm like the guy that's like a fan of the people that don't really get the big pushes. Like in the beginning, like, you know, I was a Jim Powers guy, right? You know, Marty Jannetty guy, you know, Shelton Benjamin guy, and then Curt Hawkins guy, Brian Myers guy. Well, they're the same person. Zack Ryder guy, but Lance Archer was a guy that I was a fan of when he was Dallas as Kid Cash's bodyguard, and then he teamed with Jimmy Rave as the Rock and Rave Connect, and they would come out with Christy Hemme with like the Guitar Hero guitars.
Christy Hemme, I remember her. She's got spunk and pizzazz, and
it was golden. He just always had, and then the Vance Archer stuff that could have he debuted in ECW. It was like the new talent initiative where like guys like Ricky Ortiz and fucking Braden Walker and shit like that. But
his cheeseburgers. That was the only problem with Braden Walker.
Yeah.
God damn. Poor guy.
Double cheese. What's wrong with a cheeseburger, man?
Nothing's wrong with a cheeseburger, but if you're trying to be athletic and get a job, you know what I'm saying? It's kind of rough.
You gotta eat it in moderation?
Yeah, of course. Yeah, or just throw it up after you eat it.
But I'm super happy that he's happy. Good guy. Great talker. Great interview.
Absolutely. I think it's break time.
Break it down.
So before Matt gets going with the plugs, we'll be back after this.
Here's your chance to get some great merchandise and support the people that support us, the Shining Wizards. If you shop at Amazon, visit amazon.shiningwizards.com and click on your country's banner. Shop as usual, pay great low prices, and a portion of your purchase will support us. Blue Apron, if you haven't tried fresh food, easy to prepare, and absolutely delicious, go to shiningwizards.com and click on the Blue Apron banner to save $30 off your first order. If you like wrestling videos, visit shiningwizards.com and click on the IVP videos banner. Shop as usual, pay great low prices, and once again, a portion of your purchase will support the show. If you like great wrestling t-shirts designed for all of us, visit Collar and Elbow at collarandelbowbrand.com, where wrestling fashion meets street passion. Use the code WIZARDS at checkout and save 10% off your order. For all your lucha gear needs, visit luchashop.com. Once again, use the code WIZARDS at checkout to save 10%. The High Spots Wrestling Network offers over 2,000 hours of video content every month. Go to highspotswrestlingnetwork.com and use the code WIZARDS at checkout for your first month free. If you're interested in great lucha crates, visit our friends at luchaloot.com. Use the code WIZARDS at checkout and save 10% off your first crate. If you want wrestling shirts from today's brightest and biggest stars, visit Bottom Line Merch at bottomlinemerch.com. Zubaz. If you're not wearing Zubaz, you're just wearing pants. Visit them at Zubaz.com and don't forget to check out their lucha masks. If you're interested in starting a podcast, doing some designs for social media, or anything else that requires some technical savvy, visit our friend Bryant Thompson at gauntletcreative.com. Support those who support us, the Shining Wizards.
Horns up! This is Rock from Radioactive Metal. Join Snowy, Kareem, Aaron, and myself right here on the Shining Wizards Network every Friday for your weekly metal fix. We talk to all your favorite artists, cover all the latest metal news, cover all the latest releases, and feature brand new unsigned bands. So sit back, grab a beer, download the latest episode, and always remember, it's not metal unless it's radioactive metal.
Your recognized symbol of excellence in sports entertainment broadcasting from the current to the way back. Join the impact player Phil Rea and the Portuguese man of war Choppy for the Turnbuckle Throwbacks Wrestling Podcast. Live every week on rantemradio.com. Get all our episodes over at iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn, Audio Boom, Google Play, ShiningWizardsNetwork.com, and TurnbuckleThrowbacks.com.
Revolution will be broadcast.
Hey everyone, this is Justin, one of your hosts of Inconclusive Breakdown. Join myself, Skeets the Wonder Dog, and my co-host Vince as we bring you an unfiltered anti-PC look at the week in entertainment, sports, music, comic books, video games, and professional wrestling. Also, each week we do a top 10 list and answer listener questions. Catch new episodes every Sunday everywhere you get podcasts. Follow us on social media at Inconclusive Pod or Facebook.com/Inconclusive Breakdown. As always, we are a proud member of the Shining Wizards Network.
We're the Jersey Wrecking Crew, and we approve this message.
Even though many of you believe that we're living in an ununified country where the main question is whether to kneel or stand, you'll never have to worry about the Jersey Wrecking Crew.
Because we're up all night.
Too sweet. No, it's one sweet.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Listen to the Jersey Wrecking Crew on the High Spot Podcast with brand new episodes every Friday on the Shining Wizards and B Plus Player Radio Network.
Fucking Gino?
All right. Hold on. All right. I'm going to bang these plugs out real fast because we still got a lot to talk about tonight. We want you to support the people that support us. Start with our friends over at WrestlePro, WrestlePROonline.com, this Friday night in Brooklyn, New York. You want to get out there. You want to see this show. Chris Avery Kewling against Fala Ba, Nikos Ricos and Buster Jackson, Danny Moff, The Bodies, Team España. Get your tickets at WrestlePROonline.com. Creative Pro Wrestling, CreativePROWrestling.com, Sunday, October 28th, Sunday Fun Day at the Creative Pro Wrestling Academy. VSK takes on Alex Reynolds, Pat Buck takes on MJF, Mac Caster takes on Jack Tomlinson, plus the Shook Crew, Bear Bronson, CPA, and more. Get your tickets now, CreativePROWrestling.com. Smash Wrestling, Smash-Wrestling.com, Saturday, October 27th, the Can USA Classic 2018 at the Western Fair Agriplex in London, Ontario. Allison Kay, Jessica Havoc, Jody Threat, Casey Spinella, Veda Scott, Sue Young, Jordan Grace, Lou Fisto, Allie, Tessa Blanchard. What a lineup. You're going to go smash-wrestling.com. You're going to get your tickets. You're going to watch this show. And then Sunday, Women's Evolution on pay-per-view. It's an all-women's wrestling weekend. If you're in the London, Ontario area, please be sure to check out our friends at Smash Wrestling. House of Glory, HOGWrestling.net, December 15th. They celebrate 8 years as a wrestling promotion. So go over to HOGWrestling.net. As soon as we have match announcements, we will share them with you. Wrestling, pro wrestling is magic. Excuse me, WrestlingIsMagic.com. We rise again. A wrestling show to benefit Joey Finnegan at the Knights of Columbus in Richfield Park. All sales, from the show will be donated to Joey's medical bills. You got a Four Corners Extreme Rules match, Devin Moore, Drew Blood, Tulpa, and a mystery opponent for the final spot in the Fast Pass Invitational. Mitch Vallon takes on MV Young. Sebastian Cage is in the house, as well as the Fast Pass Kingdom Invitational Rumble. WrestlingIsMagic.com. Again, this is a show to benefit Joey Finnegan. And I don't have a date because I'm an idiot, so tell a friend. I'm sure you can get that information at WrestlingIsMagic.com. Battle Club Pro, BattleClubPro.com. Their two-year anniversary this Saturday night, the Knights of Columbus in Richfield Park, New Jersey. Darius Carter takes on Jimmy Havoc. Matt McIntosh takes on Homicide. Brody King takes on Anthony Bowens. Plus, Danny Moff, The Lynch Mob, Diamond Dogs, and more. Get your tickets at BattleClubPro.com. Capital Wrestling, capitalwrestling.com. As soon as they announce their next event, we will have that information for you. Wrestling Has It Tomorrow. I just burped into the microphone. WrestlingHasItTomorrow.com is the website.
You sure did.
November 18th, What 8 at the Fett Music Hall in Providence, Rhode Island. Air Fox, Casey Navarro, Danny Ma, Falaba, The Ugly Ducklings, Main State Posse, and more. Get your tickets now at WrestlingHasItTomorrow.com. Limitless Wrestling, LimitlessWrestling.com. They present to you No Control November 30th at the Portland Club in Portland, Maine. Already announced the debuts of LAX and Filthy Tom Lawler. Plus, Josh Brigg takes on the Dirty Daddy, Chris Dickinson, Chris Statlander, Darby Allin, MJF, JT Dunn, and more. LimitlessWrestling.com for your tickets. The Wrestling Revolver this Saturday was West Des Moines, Iowa. Tales from the Ring, PCO takes on Walter, Marco Stunt takes on Ace Romero, Jimmy Jacobs, JT Dunn, David Starr, OVE. Get your tickets now, ProWrestlingRevolver.com. Innovative Pro Wrestling, at Innovative Pro _ on Twitter. It only takes three, Sunday afternoon at the Ridgefield Park, Knights of Columbus at 2 o'clock. Nick Gage takes on JT Dunn, Danny Moff takes on Jimmy Havoc, Brody King, the Ugly Ducklings, and much more. Go to at Innovative Pro _ and Rise Wrestling, risewrestling.com. Rise is spelled R-Y-S-E. Saturday, November 17th is their next event at the Stronghold in Lamont Furnace, Pennsylvania. As soon as I get some match information, we will give it to you. Those are our plugs. This is what we do, the Shining Wizards Wrestling Podcast. Again, we have a Patreon, patreon.com/wizardspodcast. There's several tiers. Every tier has some great perks. Go check it out. For as little as a dollar, you can be a producer of the show, and we will mention you every week. ProWrestlingTees.com/wizardspodcast. No, Shining Wizards. Shit. ProWrestlingTees.com/Shining Wizards. We just put up the brand new SWK. Shining Wizards Kevin t-shirt. We have the Matt Eddie, not Matt, holy shit, the Matt Kevin Tony Wizards t-shirt.
Who's Eddie?
We have the Ramon style.
We do have the Ramon
Matt
style
Kevin Tony Eddie shirt.
We have the Kick logo style up there, so check it out. And then of course follow us on social media at Wizards Podcast on Twitter, facebook.com/Wizards.
That Pro Wrestling Magic show is November 10th, Saturday, November 10th.
The benefit for Joey.
That's their next event.
Okay.
Oh, they're doing a benefit for Janela?
No. Oh. Joey Finnegan.
Joey Finnegan.
Joey Finnegan.
Oh, Finnegan's sorry, Joey wake. Finnegan.
Wow. Hope it's not a benefit for Finnegan's weight.
No.
Oh, fucking boo.
Yeah.
All right, so we're back. We're rocking.
Do we wrap up Bound for Glory? Was there anything else that we had to mention?
I think we covered Bound for Glory.
For okay.
For.
That's fine.
Right?
Yeah, no,
boots with the fur.
Again, special thanks to Lance Hoyt.
Special thanks,
Archer.
Take it easy over there.
I'm very excited.
You are excited.
I just talked for a very long time. And now we got like, man, these interviews go so fast. We got 55 minutes left, and we got a lot to cover.
That's right.
Speaking of which, real quick,
your boy,
you mentioned Zack Ryder. Rumor is he's going to 205 Live. Well, 205.
Mike Kanellis is on 205 Live.
Well, they're talking about putting Zack Ryder over there.
Dude, the guy's zacked. He doesn't weigh 205 pounds or less.
Well, maybe he's eating better. I don't know. Maybe he took a good shit and they weighed him and he's 204 and a half.
First of all, he's not a cruiserweight.
Well, this is what I've been hearing.
Yeah, but Mike Kanellis isn't a cruiserweight either.
But
yeah.
He looks like a cruiserweight.
But he's not a cruiserweight. Zach,
how is he not a cruiserweight?
He doesn't wrestle like a cruiserweight.
He could wrestle like a cruiserweight.
Sure, Zack Ryder could wrestle like a cruiserweight too.
No, he can't. Mike Kanellis is a better wrestler than Zack Ryder.
Ooh, is that a hot take?
Zack Ryder is top three of my favorite wrestlers. And I love his podcast, Major Wrestling Figure Podcast. It's a great podcast. Did you listen to the latest one?
No, I have not yet.
That's pretty good. It's pretty good.
I did listen to the Opie podcast with
Shane
McMahon.
Yeah, you're a big fan of that.
I love Opie, so.
Yeah.
Yep, all in with the Opster.
And it was a good listen. Definitely a good listen. Shane is not, you're not going to get the same boring WWE interview. Shane has a good time on the podcast. So if you're a fan of Opie from the Opie and Anthony show, formerly of the Opie and Anthony show, now he has a podcast, Opie.
Opie Radio.
Opie Radio.
Yes.
So check that out. Tony, I want to, since I know you're such a big fan of this crown jewel thing.
Oh yes.
All right, I want to go here first.
Tony's going to rant. Tony's going to rant.
Yes. I want to go.
So apparently,
yes,
a Saudi journalist and columnist from the Washington.
Do we have Saudi music that we could play on this?
Does anyone know any Saudi songs? This is like a really big story.
Yes, it is.
That's why I wanted to get some music to bet on.
All right, even on like the wrestling side. Like in the real world, this is a huge fucking deal.
Yes, this is a real world.
What did you search that the Iron Sheik came up like three times?
Play the Sultan's music.
That's pretty much what he wants.
It's the Sultan's music. Right.
So.
Oh my God! Stop it.
There's the Saudi
Arabia
government
facebuster.
They're being looked at for a situation where a journalist was murdered.
Yeah, can I
murdered
vomited,
at the Saudi Arabia
embassy in Turkey?
Yes,
in Istanbul.
Not even in Saudi Arabia.
He's in Turkey. He goes in to get paperwork so he can marry
his fiance,
obviously. And he goes in, never comes out. And the rumor and innuendo, to quote Conrad Thompson, is that Saudi Arabia had flown over like 15 guys from Saudi Arabia, like I guess agents or assassins or just heavies, I guess, to put it into wrestling terms, to just make sure either beat this guy up or just make sure he never sees light, or to kidnap him and take him back to Saudi Arabia. Apparently there's a struggle. Rumor is that they killed this guy, dismembered him with a bone saw. Bone saw's ready.
I like how Kevin tells the story as there was a struggle and then they dismembered him.
That's it. There's no in between. They get to an argument and then they start sawing shit off.
Start hacking limbs away.
Yeah. So, yeah. So that's like an act of war to me.
Yeah, this is like a big
deal.
That's
an American citizen.
And there seems to be a bit of uproar in...
Rawr.
Rawr, Sable. Rawr. Play Sable.
Snarf.
Snarf. Oh, snarf, snarf.
In the wrestling community, people are like, fuck it, I don't give a shit how much money they're paying you. Like, the WWE shouldn't be going over there.
Top button issue.
This is a serious thing. And as of right now, they're still going.
Yes.
Raw last night still advertised the show.
Well,
but they
didn't say where it was going to be.
They're not
right?
saying where. They're not.
Crown Jewel.
That's all they're saying right now.
Somewhere over there.
Which is. It's tough because you get to the political spectrum of everything where Donald Trump is like saying, oh, we don't know what. Like,
that's President Trump, Kevin.
Oh, whatever. President Trump is saying we don't. He's basically defending. Like, he's saying we don't know anything. So, and then you have like Linda McMahon, who's in his cabinet.
Well, that's the rub that affects wrestling.
If she
personally.
wasn't in their cabinet, this show would be canceled. That's what I think.
I think you might have that wrong. I think if she's not in the cabinet, they don't even censor out Saudi Arabia, and it's not even an issue.
What, you don't think they'd cancel the show?
I don't think
amongst
so.
Amongst all this bad heat?
No, because it's the fact that Linda McMahon is associated with the United States government is now the more concern. I think. Otherwise, who cares? Saudi Arabia is going to be continuing to conduct business with whoever, whenever.
Yeah, but a lot of other companies that have decided not. That big conference that was going to be happening, like Viacom pulled out. Your
Viacom.
What? But like.
Da-douche!
All right.
You've never seen the Da-douche tape.
You never seen sitcom. The
no.
Davey tape? Never heard of this
man,
stuff?
Man.
No. Oh, we should do a Patreon watch-along.
Please. I would love.
What is
and
this?
Some of the douche. Some of the douche. Some of the douche. That man. He wanted to rape you.
Why did you do that?
What is-
Look what happened by accident.
Saw. All right,
oh,
listeners,
God.
To the Shining Wizards podcast. If you're as confused as I am, please tweet us at Wizards Podcast.
Book him. What's the charge?
He's a
cocksucker.
Somebody out there has to know what we're talking about.
Oh, come on. Hashtag sick comp if you've ever seen the Da-douche tape. And you know it's the Da-douche tape. Why, Matt?
Da-douche.
What the fuck?
Da-douche.
All right.
I don't even know how to look that up.
It seems like a lot of complicated
if you look
spelling.
If you look up sitcom, I have some of the old videos on there. Yes. Yeah.
Just
all,
a sitcom.
All one word. All one word.
Oh, okay.
Oh, my God. It's amazing. Anyway, let's get back to Saudi Arabia.
All right, yeah. What is your opinion on the whole Saudi Arabia take?
It's rough, man. They got a contract. I don't know how contracts are structured in Saudi Arabia, what the legalities are and whatnot, but I would hate for 15 guys to come over here and start hacking up Mr. McMahon. You know what I'm saying? It's rough.
Dude, they killed an American citizen in, like, that.
Wait, he's an American citizen?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I thought he was a Saudi.
No, he worked. He was a
journalist for the Washington Post.
Yeah.
Oh.
He was a prominent critic of the Saudi government.
Yeah. Their government killed an American citizen. Like, that's like for nothing. Just because he was. Is this?
You know what?
Is this like a movie?
I have a shortened version of it somewhere. I have to find and post it up.
Is this a movie or a show or
it's
a YouTube series?
I forget what they used to call them, but there's like a
compilation tape.
Yeah, it's like the old compilations, like Retardotron, stuff like that, where they'll put in like awful clips of porno and like people like getting
something else.
Yeah, best catch I'll ever make. You want a blowjob?
Dawn.
There's a commercial for Dawn.
so much for cleaning it up.
Can we play past the Pepto-Bismol?
I don't know if that's on here.
Oh, it's on there.
Out of your way.
It's on there. It's one of them.
I'm just going to drink my beer.
All right,
what?
So
what?
This is a pretty big deal, right?
Yeah, it is.
But they're going.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
The money's there.
Money.
Unless, like, a huge sponsor drops out.
Like, I don't think they need sponsors.
No, like a huge WWE sponsor.
Well, let's be
okay.
Let's be honest. Nobody in WWE is speaking out against the Saudi government, are they?
They're not allowed to.
Well, there you go. And they're not bringing women over there, right?
No, because they're not allowed to.
So, as long as WWE is playing by their rules and they want the money, I mean...
I'm not crazy about it. I'm like you. Like, I'm not crazy about it either, but I get it. It's just...
I heard some of the people in the company are not crazy about it either.
Sports Illustrated had an article about certain talents commenting that they weren't happy
about
going.
Mention names? Or?
I don't think so.
Oh.
Because they're not... They were instructed not to talk about it, from what I understand.
Well, yeah.
It's a pretty serious deal.
So it goes back to months ago, this whole Saudi deal to begin with. So not only is it fucking with the business side of things, but it's also fucking with their livelihoods.
Yeah, but like no one saw this coming. Like, this was just, these two incidents are, you saw the Saudis killing an American?
I mean, it's not something they haven't done before in the past.
Yeah, seriously. Apparently they chop people's heads off and give them to each other for Ramadan over there. Oh, is it, what is Christmas? What is their Christmas?
What are you talking about?
I have no idea.
That's right. You don't.
Boo.
I knew it wasn't Christmas, so I just went with the first thing that came into my head.
Boo. Abu's the host. He's the special guest host of Crown Jewel.
Yo.
Play the Sultan's music again.
Bam, 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 bam. Can you play Dollar Mendy?
What?
Search for Dollar Mendy. DahlerMendi.
DahlerMendi.
Mendy. There you go. Play something called Tune Up, Tune Up, Tune.
That's why is it the first video?
Because it's
up.
The most popular song by Dollar Mendy.
Okay. There's a commercial, of course.
Of course. What's Vin Diesel selling?
It looks like some kind of drug for skin, something of another. Here we go.
All right, here's.
It's pretty serious.
Yeah, this it's good like, stuff.
Are you going to break it down here?
No, you could just...
Is this Seal?
Yes.
Sounds like Seal.
It's on Vivo.
Final thoughts on...
I have a quote from the article.
Oh, okay.
Speaking on condition of anonymity, multiple members of the WWE talent roster have expressed discomfort with the idea of performing in Saudi Arabia, especially given the nation's poor record with human rights. And this is a quote... As always, we maintain an open line of communication with our performers as we continue to monitor the situation, WWE said in a statement to the New York Post after this piece was published. In WWE's defense, Saudi Crown Prince Mohammed bin Salman, sold them on a vision of a progressive nation. He appeared earnest?
Yes.
In his pursuit of Western entertainment and sold potential business
partners.
Goes to jail,
goes fishing, goes camping.
This is dumb. The main
quote
was...
Take off his hat, take off his head.
The main quote was that many talents have expressed discomfort with going.
Sure, because what's not to say that one of these fuck faces is going to grab one of these people? Wait, I'd be worried about
that.
Here
comes the
hook. Is this T-Pain?
Yes. What's he doing with his fingers?
He's doing the tuna 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 dance. This is a big hit, dude. I'm not even joking.
It's got 1.2 million likes.
Brenge.
Two thumbs down, two thumbs up.
It's
the
same
guy.
All him, yep. It's all
him. Fantastic.
Four times. How amazing is this production? This is what awaits everyone in Saudi Arabia.
Bob, big with the finger, the movement here.
That's their dancing, man.
He's giggling. He's listening.
Big time. Big time entertainment over there. Big time wrestling, Saudi Arabia. Look at that, Mets.
All right. We're done with this guy.
He stutters even singing the song.
He stutters stuttering. Like he screws up his own stutters.
Someone's got to do
it.
All right. They're happy. They're having a good time. No one cares.
All
right,
it's so all the same guy.
Yeah, he's happy. He's excited.
So Crown Jewel is happening.
Crown Jewel is happening. It's happening. I think they have, they're working on finalizing this World Cup nonsense. There's two matches tonight.
Whoop-de-free.
On SmackDown 1000.
That's right, SmackDown 1000 tonight.
Airing now.
We're
thankful that you tuned in to listen to us.
That's it.
I mean, let's be real. Is there anything that you really want to see on SmackDown 1000?
I pop for the nostalgia.
We've been doing a lot of posts lately, and we've been getting great responses. Thank you all for reading and joining in on the great conversations, but... SmackDown 1000 went over like a fart in church today.
Bro, I saw someone post a picture online. You could have, as of like 10 o'clock this morning, you could buy tickets for $9 on StubHub to the show.
Well, there you go.
Where was it? Where is it?
Ohio, maybe?
It's got to be close because they were in Philly yesterday.
It's not the same crew. It's a separate show.
Yeah, but they all got to come together for something soon.
No, it's a separate show.
Whatever.
Some of the talent will probably be there.
Yeah, probably.
Like Undertaker's going to be there.
Great. Yeah, but Undertaker, that vignette on Raw was pre-taped last night.
Simo.
You know what?
They're in D.C.
Simo.
That vignette, remember how we talked about how Kane seemed to be like the odd person out? That vignette last night on Raw, like, that kind of changed my tune. I'm like, wow, Kane looks like a fucking serious badass.
They have to make him seem important.
Them two sitting, and not that he was never not a serious badass, but like them two together in that like boiler room. I thought they were gonna make it a boiler room match. Anyone else think that?
No.
When they saw that?
Sorry.
Stupid fucking question, Kevin.
Perfect. I can't even get mad at that. that was perfect. They were in the boiler room. They were in it. I was like, they're going to make this shit a boiler room match, aren't they? Fuckers.
I mean, we got Evolution, The Undertaker, Mysterio fighting Nakamura. Okay.
Wait, Evolution was on Raw, weren't they? Were they even a SmackDown thing?
No.
No.
No, wait.
Evolution was always on Raw. Yep. Chris Benoit was champion, and Randy Orton beat him, and they turned on him.
Yeah, he's not wrong.
That was all Evolution. I'm not wrong. See this shit? They should bring back Spanky and make him run around naked. They should bring back Big Dick Johnson and oil him up and let him run around his bikini.
Why do you want a lot of naked men on your...
Because these are SmackDown memories, Kevin.
I mean, they're already halfway there.
Yeah.
That's a good point. But Batista is a SmackDown staple.
They could have Randy Orton drive Eddie Guerrero's lowrider through the set again. Remember the uproar that caused? See, nobody gives a shit about SmackDown. That's my point. When Eddie Guerrero passed away...
The SmackDown, his tribute show.
Yeah, but what's his name drove the lowrider through the set? You don't remember that? And people were in an uproar?
Randy Orton.
Yes. You guys really don't remember this.
I was not watching wrestling at this time.
I remember when Batista drove the lowrider and put his world title belt.
Yeah, it was a trip. Yeah, but no, but later on, Randy Orton did some shit or other. Then people were like, you shit on his legacy and blah, blah, blah. Yeah, dude, that was a thing.
They've done that before. CM Punk used Paul Bearer and angle with The Undertaker.
Brock Lesnar and Big Show breaking the ring. That was SmackDown. I liked it because it was out of nowhere. Nobody knew it was going to happen.
That's the most over appreciated moment on SmackDown ever.
What, the ring breaking?
Yeah.
You think it was overhyped?
I think it in the grand scheme of SmackDown, I think it's way overhyped.
Tony, was this be part of it?
Eddie ain't in heaven. Eddie's down there in
hell. Ooh,
is that his feud with Mysterio or Batista? Yes. It's Mysterio. Okay. And that's when Mysterio won the world. Mysterio is obviously world champion at this point. Right?
Oh shit! The greatest moment that never aired: Muhammad Hassan choking out the Undertaker.
It did air.
Oh, it didn't air in Canada.
That makes no sense.
No, it didn't air. They didn't air it for one of the replays. One of the networks refused to show it. Might have been in England.
Yes, that's what it was. Because it was right around the time of the subway bombing,
exactly.
The train bombing. And,
yep.
Or,
4th of July, 2005.
Yep.
Five masked men dressed in black shirts, ski mask, and camo pants. They did not show it it was removed in Australia and Europe, and it was shown in Canada with an advisory warning, shown several times during the broadcast leading up to that.
Yeah.
I'm surprised, too, because Canada usually, like, drops out of a lot of stuff, and it doesn't take much for them to find things offensive.
Love Canada. Don't you dare talk bad about Canada.
Hey, I like Canada, too, but
it's
a matter of fact.
I love how you started with A.
They're very restrictive when it comes to content. They just are. Sorry. It is what it is.
Sorry.
So Saudi Arabia, they're still going.
Oh yeah, so we got this World Cup gimmick going on. Rey Mysterio, Nakamura should be. It's kind of cool. I mean, I'm not going to lie. That's a pretty good match tonight.
That's awesome.
But what you have now, your four guys from Raw have been confirmed for this World Cup tournament: Seth Rollins, Dolph Ziggler, John Cena, Kurt Angle, Jeff Hardy, Randy Orton.
That's from
so those are your six. And then tonight, Rusev takes on The Miz and Mysterio takes on Nakamura, and those guys will qualify. Ooh. For this
Rusev's
crown jewel.
Qualifying.
Miz has got to cross. Unless you put Miz in a
no,
different match.
No, the Prince likes Rusev, so I think Rusev's going to qualify.
I heard the Prince loves The Miz, though.
Well, maybe the Prince has to make a few decisions.
Maybe he's luring Mysterio in.
Like choppy?
Sexually?
Choppy, choppy. No, I'm just kidding.
Ooh.
Choppy, choppy is pee-pee?
Everything.
Did you know that... What was his name?
Yamaguchi-san.
Yamaguchi. Bill. Did you say?
I don't know what he was talking about.
Bill Yamaguchi. I'm pretty sure he's part of the Japanese commentary team with Funaki.
Yes, he is. Yes, he is.
I never knew that.
Evil. Yes, you did. You just said it was.
Well, like, I knew it, but, like, I'm watching. I'm like, on these pay-per-views, I'm like,
Tony, I knew it, but I didn't know it.
No, but I've never mentioned it because it always slips my mind until I watch the next special. And I'm like, that's fucking Yamaguchi-san.
Yes, it is.
That's all right. That's an aside, I guess. Thoughts on Yamaguchi?
Love him. My there. Favorite.
Beautiful.
He's my guy.
Not as great as Bill.
Val Venus, nah, 8x10. Choppy, choppy, pee pee.
Bill loves the choppy, choppy.
Choppy, choppy, pee pee.
8x10.
Choppy, choppy, Bill's pee pee.
Don't choppy, choppy, Bill's pee pee.
I'm Bill.
Quick run through of Monday Night Raw.
I like it.
Oh shit, I didn't mean to close.
You're actually getting good at that. Into the mic, Tony.
Now you got me excited.
Oh god. Is this the
this is the direction we're taking?
Is this the intro to Raw? Is this your new
Yeah.
So we talk about Monday Night Raw?
Correct. Ding.
All right.
Raw was a thing that happened.
Raw was indeed a thing that happened. They continue.
Oh, boy, do they ever.
It's coming to a boil. The Shield thing is coming to a boil. And you've seen Claymore and Strowman and Ziggler. That's done. It seems that way.
But the tag champs, Matthew.
Well, Claymore and Ziggles are, but Strowman's out. It's done.
I love how Claymore's a thing now.
It's a wrap. Claymore hit him with the boot.
Hit
Strowman after Strowman was yelling and screaming at Ziggles for losing.
And didn't he hit Ziggles with the power slam? I thought he hit Ziggles with something.
Dun, 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 dun. Dun, dun. This is how much it's in my memory here.
The Shield gave him the triple power bomb, and then he gave him the power slam. Then Claymore came in and he gave Strowman a Claymore kick, and then McIntyre marched off as his music played. And then just as he got halfway up the ramp, he looked back and shot some dangerous eyes at Braun.
Well, Claymore also hit Braun during the match with the kick, didn't
he? Yes, that was by accident. But
that
was
amazingly done. Amazingly done.
The whole thing was amazingly done. How Ambrose and Rollins, the dissension between them,
the whole show, exactly. It was a lot of time on the show for this story.
Yes, it was.
Was an awful lot of time.
There's six guys involved in it, right?
Yeah, but it got six segments. Like, each guy had a segment to himself if he wanted it.
And they all wrestled outside of Roman and Strowman. They all wrestled.
Rollins
and Ambrose wrestled, and Ziggler and McIntyre wrestled. They all had one-on-one matches against each other.
Yeah, and stupid Ambrose, instead of diving in the ring and taking care of business, he dove to the outside. What was he thinking?
What do you think the end result is? I'm not buying that the Shield is separating. Do you think Dean Ambrose is going to turn heel?
It's possible. Maybe Dean Ambrose joins up with Claymore, and they form a new tag team.
But Claymore is not leaving Ziggles.
He might.
They're the tag champs.
They've never had tag champs that didn't get along, and then they turn on each other.
They do it all the time.
Well, duh.
Dummy.
Oh, what was the significance of James Ellsworth having duh on his tights? You noticed that, right?
No.
I did.
What was
Because apparently that's his thing.
Duh.
On the indies. I heard him, because I heard the crowd messing with him, and he definitely mentioned it.
Oh, they did more than
mess with him. I heard them chant, fuck you, Ellsworth.
Yeah.
Like, a lot.
I thought that surprised me.
That he was there?
No, they hated him so much.
Eli Drake is on the cusp of being over, and they were expecting Jericho. He had two strikes against him coming out.
I was expecting Big Cass.
Yeah, a lot of people mentioned that as well.
Not a bad call.
Especially since a friend of mine works at the airport and saw him that morning.
Who, the Ultimate Warrior?
No, the Ultimate Warrior is not.
He's not working at any airport.
First of all, the Ultimate Warrior works at PSENG.
That's what I was saying. Right? He's on his way home from vacation. He's on his way back to work.
Maybe. So that happened on Monday Night Raw.
Oh, yes, it did.
For like the fifth week in a row, they had a six-man tag match. They've kind of put themselves in a corner because they have this...
No one puts the Shield in the corner.
This crown jewel show that is... Your main event is Roman Reigns, Strowman, and Lesnar, but Lesnar's not showing up anytime soon on regular TV. And there's really no other matches outside of this World Cup gimmick they have going on. And then on SmackDown, it's AJ and Daniel Bryan.
Is the World Cup thing all going to happen at the show?
Yes.
So like it's like King of the Ring.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Which is that's a lot of matches.
Yes. Seven matches,
plus the other ones.
Yeah.
You're saying there's not a whole lot announced for it, but that's it. That's a big. That's a lot of it.
Sure. I guess.
There was a lot of extras work on on Raw yesterday, and I was curious because I recognized a few of the faces. I wanted to see. One of the guys, I think, was one of the regulars from ECWA. I recognized him. He's the guy that got in Ronda Rousey's face and said, Ronda, calm down!
There was no calming Ronda down. That was a pretty cool segment.
Was awesome with the comebacks. She was really good with that.
As you've... listened before, if you've listened to the show, I'm not a big fan of her facial expressions.
Right.
Because she did that stupid thing where she was really happy to get to the ring, and she stepped through the ropes and she turned the switch. But then she couldn't help but laugh and smile as they were chanting her stupid name. But she was good with the zingers, so I'll give it to her.
play your flute again.
I don't know. I can't play that song.
No?
That shit.
Sasha Banks returned. She was in the corner with Bayley. Natty took on Ruby Riott. You can't find anything better to do with the Riott Squad.
Riott Squad is Job Squad 2018.
Like, they put ketchup and mustard on Natty's locker room door.
Because we're women and we're powerful and we're empowered and me too. And...
But it's a door at an arena that Natty doesn't have to clean up, so who cares?
And ketchup just wipes off. Like,
it really doesn't stain on like hard surfaces.
Fucking idiots.
What'd you guys think of the AOP conquistador thing they did?
Kind of dumb. It was funny, but it was kind of dumb.
I like what they're doing with Kurt Angle is like
he's getting one over on Baron Corbin, like week after week.
No, and it's fine. Keep Baron Corbin guessing. Like that's a good thing for him to do. I don't.
So
mind
I didn't mind that
story.
So quick, yeah. So much, so quick.
But I fucking still hate Leo Rush and Lashley. Ugh.
I think Leo Rush and say what you want about him. I think Leo Rush is gold. And
nope.
In both his roles on X-Pac Raw and 205 Live.
X-Pac heat for that fucking Lashley hype man shit. That's
I like
terrible.
It. I like it.
Terrible.
I think
he's
crazy.
Even behind in his commentary calling shit.
But he's not a commentator.
But he's like he's supposed to be the hype guy, but he's like he's off. Like I don't like
it's
it.
It's like a month old. Not
Lashley's
even.
A fucking mannequin. The Leo Rush shit is annoying. I'm all out.
Well, listen, well, Bobby, out. Bobby Lashley
it,
wasn't getting over anyway.
It's worse, dude.
It's not worse.
Folded.
It's definitely not worse.
Folded. They cut out Balor and fucking Bayley's entrance, which
ugh,
I was disappointed
who cares?
About. Because they needed another segment for The Shield and the other idiots. That's why.
Hold on. When you sit down to watch Monday Night Raw, you grab like your soda pop and you grab some popcorn and you're like, I can't wait to see that Finn Bayley entrance.
No, but that's part of their shtick, dude. With the wacky inflating guys and the dun.
Do they put the demon face paint on the wacky inflatable?
That would be amazing. See, Kevin's on board with this.
That's what they should do.
See, absolutely. Have them all come up and they're black and red, and the faces are like white and shit, and they have dreads instead of like hands. Awesome, 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 awesome. I like that, Kev.
All right,
I like it a lot.
I like it a lot.
I got nothing but respect for the women in the WWE.
Here we go.
Yep.
Let's go.
Yep. Roll Let's do up. It.
Ember Moon and Nia Jax took on Tamina and Dana Brooke.
Yes.
I liked this.
Okay, that's fine. But Renee Young said, this is what the women's evolution's about right here.
She's a dope.
No! The women's evolution is not about these four. I'm sorry.
Renee
Ember
Young
Moon
is
a super great talent, and I love Nia Jax.
Ooh,
Tamina is
it.
The daughter of a legend.
You know, she's not like most girls.
And Dana Brooke is
Tamina
whatever.
Tamina is the daughter of a legend killer.
She's not Randy Orton's daughter.
No.
Sorry.
And the legend was the killer.
Yeah, that's kind of why I paused.
Yeah, but... Oh.
Legend hyphen killer.
There you go. Legend comma killer.
I just thought it was...
R.P. Jimmy Snuka.
Did it, brother.
Murdering bastard.
I just felt that was like a weird place for
she
Renee Young to
piss,
say
brother.
Something like that.
She's an idiot, dude. Ignore her and you'll be better
no,
off.
No, they're trying to put over, I guess, the battle royal.
I haven't seen Dean in a couple of weeks. Are you kidding me? You travel with him every day.
No, he's a lunatic.
Oh, he shows up on lunatic right. time. What the fuck is
And he's
that
also a bad
about?
Guy, almost.
Oh, he's a retard is what he is.
What?
What is your beef with Dean Ambrose?
He doesn't show up at 8 o'clock? He didn't get fined? Are you kidding me?
How many times have we seen on Raw where no one shows up on time?
Kayfabe, Kev.
All right. Because we've done 7 years of Keep It a Kayfabe.
That's what we do on this show.
That's the new name of the podcast.
No, that's already taken, actually.
Keep It a Kayfabe is a podcast? I'm sure it is,
yes,
actually.
It is.
Yeah, I think it is.
There's 8 million podcasts.
Finn beat Jinder again.
I know, again. It was like it felt like I watched Raw for the same episode in the past
really
5 weeks.
We didn't get our Gable and Rude versus the Ascension match.
But
Gable, we did get Gable and Rude, though, didn't we?
They wanted the glorious hats that Kurt Angle had, his vacation hat.
Oh, yeah, he was in Cabana clothes.
Oh, you know
Cold
what else
Cabana clothes.
You know what else pissed me off? Good line. You know what else? Wow, you got him good.
No, you did.
You did.
What did I do?
You said, wow, like, oh, good line.
You were just like, oh, good line. Just,
oh, I popped you?
Yeah.
Damn, I was just going to keep on going. I thought it was the boo.
You're like, good line. I don't give a fuck. Keep going.
Wait, did it come across that way?
No, but it was just so great.
So what? Whew, spout some
they
of your...
did the same
tout.
Thing with Ronda Rousey and the Bella Twins. That they wound up doing with Trish and Lita later on with Alexa and Mickey.
Oh, that stuff is, yeah, it's
like
not really getting
why
over
don't
well.
You come down here? Why don't you come down here? Why don't you, why twice? Why
yeah,
twice? Nobody cares.
Ratings
Nobody
were up,
cares.
Though.
Fine. I mean, the wrestling wasn't bad.
Which was a little surprising.
Why is Ember Moon turning on Nia Jax? Like, what was that all about? Like helping what's-her-name throw over the top. It made no sense.
Because the Battle Royal.
Oh, who gives a shit? They weren't in a Battle Royal. They weren't
but
in a tag
But it's coming.
Match.
You ask a question.
You turn
a question,
the mic on.
You get
and
an answer,
you.
And you don't appreciate the answer that you're given.
Because it doesn't make sense. You know?
It was...
Like, if I ask what's 2 plus 2 and Matt says 17, I go, okay, that's Matt math.
Look, just because I stutter
sense.
Doesn't mean that I don't know how to do math.
Well, I'm just proving a point that I don't have to like the answer I get. It was stupid. Why do the same gimmick twice with two different sets of women? You know?
Because they're...
I'm just talking about the...
And then all of a sudden, Bailey and what's-her-name are friends again because they came out to help Natty. Natty's deliciously thick, by the way.
I like Natty.
I know you like Nia Jax. She's a little plumper for me.
You know who I like who's thick? Taya.
Dude, I didn't realize how Hispanic Taya was until she started flipping
off. She's Canadian, bro.
No, she's not. I thought she was Mexican.
Yes, she is. She's a Canadian fitness model.
She was... Like ripping out shit like she was part of LAX when she was yelling at Austin Aries.
Well, she's had some success in AAA. So
that's
sure
why I said it. That's why I figured she got a little Mexican in her, you know? I didn't mean that in a sexual way. I thought maybe she was like part Mexican.
I mean, she's been in Mexico a little bit.
Well, maybe Mexico's been in her, Kevin.
Right. She's had some Nitro in her and some Impact and some.
It's a lot of dick for the same person.
205.
Boone the Bounty Hunter.
The dog. I'm sure from that movie. What was it? Air Bud?
The wrestling dog, right?
No, yeah.
Oh, Mad Dog?
No.
I like him, man.
No, the dog.
No, the movie that John Marston
did. Air Bud, or whatever it was. Was it Air Bud?
No, it wasn't
Air
Bud.
Was it like Air Bud 6?
Let's look this up here.
Holy cow, we are off the rails.
John Marston either co-starred with...
It was a dog.
A dog, or with Mickey Rourke.
Let's see.
Wait, he was in a movie with Mickey Rourke?
No, that movie, that DVD. The dog. It's either a dog or it's Mickey Rourke, one of the two. Because they look very
alike. Filmography, scroll down.
They look very alike.
I'm looking.
Oh, no, it's right there. Filmography, there you go. Whoa, he's been in a lot of crappy movies.
Yeah, he's been in a lot. Russell Madness.
Yeah, Russell.
What is it about a Jack Russell Terrier?
Yeah.
No way. No.
We had him on the show and we talked to him about this.
Wait a minute. This is real?
Yeah, this is real.
Shout out to Johnny Impact Morrison, Thunder Nitro Speed.
Wait a minute. Wait, is that him in the ring?
No, that's a monkey, idiot.
That's Mickey Rourke.
I thought that was an old man.
No.
I thought the dog had one eye. He had the arrow over his face.
The strongest tag team in the family.
So there's a monkey and a dog that wrestled John Morrison?
Yeah. You want to see the trailer?
Oh my God.
Play the sound.
All right, I got to make sure there's no commercial here first.
No, please let there be a...
There's a commercial.
Nothing in life is free, people.
Trailer for Russell Madness, starring John Morrison. Air Bud Entertainment.
That's right.
Some would say I come from humble beginnings.
The dog
that
talks.
That is until I met the Ferraros. That was the day everything changed.
He's out! How would you like to be a wrestler?
Wait, the monkey talks to the dog?
The name's Punk. This
is Oscar-worthy stuff.
The dog hit the ropes. The dog is a Jack Russell Terrier, and it hit the top rope. Oh, Johnny Mundo cheated, and he blew the dog whistle.
Cheated.
You actually think this dog belongs to you?
Russell will do battle with the Hammer in a rematch.
And if he wins, we keep Russell.
My yard.
So,
yeah, Russ.
What? And who's the douche in the tights next to the dog?
That was great. That was poetry in motion.
There you go. Russell Madness.
We had him on the show to talk about this entire movie.
Who voiced the monkey? Was that Jerry Stiller?
It
sounded like Jerry Stiller.
Some info on Russell Madness.
Oh, my God. Jerry Stiller is in the dog movie that with the wrestler. No, dude, no. Just what?
No.
This is the first you've ever heard of Russell Madness?
Yes. And there's not even a Wikipedia page for it.
There's definitely a Wikipedia page.
No, there isn't.
No, there's not.
For Russell Madness?
Probably on IMDb.
There's no Wikipedia page for Russell Madness.
Sean Giambrone. Who's that? Giambrone.
He is Russell in Russell Madness.
He plays the dog? He must be really short.
He was the kid that plays Adam Goldberg on The Goldbergs.
Oh, well, there you go. They reached deep into the talent well for this fucking flick.
Never watched that show.
It's pretty funny, actually.
Is it?
Fucking Johnny Mundo.
I've seen they have LJNs in the background.
I hope they paid him so he never has to work again for this dog shit movie.
Hey, you didn't watch it, so watch your mouth.
Didn't you buy it? Matt, don't you own it?
No, I don't own Russell Madness. I think it's on Netflix.
And they called it WrestleMania. Fucking terrible.
Genius.
Terrible.
Johnny Genius.
Can we talk a little bit about Ring of Honor's Glory by Honor?
Sure.
Sure. Me and Kevin both watched it. It took place Friday night out of Baltimore, Maryland.
my stopping ground.
I don't want to go through the whole card.
Yeah.
But any highlights for you?
I mean, the end, obviously.
What, when it was over and you all went home?
No.
Sorry.
I like they're inserting Kenny King into, I mean, I don't watch like their weekly show, but they're inserting Kenny King into that main event picture with Cody and Jay Lethal. I'm kind of on the same page as you now, where I've kind of had enough of Bully Ray. I think he's almost to the point where he's becoming, and like, that to me is X-Pac heat now.
Is he like a relic?
Yeah, he's like, and this is no disrespect, he's at legendary career, but he's just like obnoxious to the point of like just being obnoxious.
Yes.
I don't want it. Like when he told Bobby Cruz to shut up and like don't announce me or
yeah, I punched out from his promo.
Yeah. Oh, me too. I was done. And highlights. What else?
Jeff Cobb. Jeff Cobb is amazing.
That was a squash though, right? A relative squash.
Yeah.
Who was the guy that he faced?
Sorry, he's the TV champ, isn't he?
Yeah. Yeah. And they kind of spoiled that because that doesn't air until.
Yeah, but I mean, he already showed up on that New Japan card.
With the belt, yeah.
The one that took place in Long Branch. So.
Well, they haven't announced Matt Taven as being the Ring of Honor World Champion yet, right?
No, but you did.
Oh, we have to talk about that.
Briscoes beat the Bouncers, Beer City Bruiser and Brian Milanos.
That was fun.
I thought that was a fun match. Marty versus the Hurricane was fun. And then Marty took his mask like a fucking dick.
And then Paige came out afterwards and they beat the shit out of him.
Paige, yeah. Give me back the mask.
Bullet Club retained the six-man tag team championships against SoCal Uncensored. And Lethal beat Silas Young to retain his ROH World Championship.
Well, I thought that match ROH championship. I wasn't a big fan of that match.
Yeah, it was okay.
It was okay.
So Jay Lethal is the Ring of Honor champion. They did the TV tapings the next night. Not super spoilers, but Dalton Castle came back.
Oh.
He was the mystery partner against the Kingdom.
All right.
Nice.
And the Sandman wrestled.
Who?
the Cheeseburger, maybe?
Oh, that match was fun, too, that tag match with Cheeseburger against the Kingdom. Cheeseburger and Flip.
Did he do the entrance and everything?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Oh, wow.
I thought his back was killing him.
So Cheeseburger.
His back was killing him at Legends like 3 years ago that he couldn't even walk anymore.
That was a tag match. Wow. Bully Ray and Silas Young beat Flip Gordon and the Sandman.
Oh, God, that's awesome.
Did the Sandman get the hot tag and do all of his high spots?
Like I don't know.
The DDT?
The
springboard leg drop?
It was all for the TV tapings, which will start showing up on Ring of Honor TV. But I enjoyed Glory by Honor, and I enjoy the Honor Club. It's definitely worth the one, you know, what it's like 120 for the year. You get all the pay-per-views. They've been showing a lot of the CMLL stuff. You're going to get the Jericho Cruise. The matches from that are going to show.
Really?
Yes. Let me find it.
All
in
the
my
matches
notes
or just
here.
Or just Ring of Honor matches?
Let me find it in my notes here, Mr. Kevin.
In my notes.
Let me find it. Here
Mr.
we go.
Page here.
Broadcast plans have been announced for some of the matches that will be taking place on Jericho's Rock and Wrestling Rager at Sea Cruise. It was announced today that the Jericho Young Bucks versus Cody, Kenny, and Scroll tag match will.
That's a hell of a match.
Air as a special called Streaming for Vengeance at 8 p.m. Eastern.
That's awesome.
On Saturday, November 3rd. You will get to see the first round matches for the Sea of Honor tournament. Dalton Castle versus Taven, Daniels versus Delirious, Marty Scurll against Rhett Titus, Silas Young against Flip Gordon, Briscoe against Ferrara, Paige against Kazarian, Cheeseburger versus Beer City Bruiser, Jay Briscoe against Kenny King.
All right.
So the special will air on both Fight TV and Honor Club. And I do want to shout out Fight TV. That stream was perfect Sunday night.
Oh, yeah?
Perfect. I put the app on my Fire Stick, popped in my logo, the login information, my logo information, threw down the 40 for it.
40 for it.
Magic.
44.
So props to Fight TV. It's fucking amazing. All the streaming services you can get.
Yes, and they all work nowadays.
Yeah, it's pretty crazy, right?
Remember like 5 years ago, they'd always crash?
Yeah, I still have some issues with the network.
WWE?
Yeah, WWE. This Saturday night as well is the NWA 70th anniversary show.
Ooh.
You know what? A year ago, we wouldn't be talking about the NWA.
This is all this against Saturday? Cody, right?
This says Sunday. I think this date is wrong.
Sunday, and Saturday.
Ah, Raceway Park.
Wikipedia has it as
Simpsons reference.
As the 21st, but I'm pretty sure it's
Truckosaurus.
The 20th. Whatever it is, it's going to be on Fight TV, and I want to say maybe Honor Club, but I have to look into that.
Check your local listings.
Cody against Nick Aldis in a 2 out of 3 falls match. Jazz defends her NWA Women's Championship against Penelope Ford.
Nice.
Wow. Homeboy Willie Mack is in a 4-way elimination match to determine who North the NWA National Heavyweight
That's
Champion
the
will be.
National title, yes.
Tim Storm takes on Peter Avalon.
Good for Tim Storm.
I love that he's still keeping his name out there.
He's awesome.
Yeah. Crimson and Jax Dane will take on a tag team to be announced. There's a tag team open challenge, and they will have Road Warrior Animal in their corner.
That's right.
So this is a pretty exciting show. And then Impact is returning to the Nashville Fairgrounds in January for their pay-per-view. So that'll be pretty cool.
Hey, I wanted to ask you, Reno Scum, they were in Impact for a hot minute last year, weren't they?
They were indeed. Jeff Jarrett came on board, he brought them in.
They're a great team. I enjoyed their work. I forgot they even existed until our guest for the evening, Mr. Lance Hoyt, brought it up for that show this Saturday.
Didn't we have one of them on?
No. I don't think so.
All right.
Kevin's got bad guest memory.
He really does.
As opposed to me, who has no guest memory.
Fair enough.
We got Patreon question.
Oh, yes.
Oh,
okay.
Yes. That's
hit us with the Patreon question.
Okay. Don't forget, go to patreon.com/wizardspodcast. Get in on the fun. It all starts at just $1. Some of the higher tiers, you get to ask priority questions every week. Just like this week's question from Dan Rusignello. He says, what's up, boys?
Ah, my man, Pots and Pants.
I threw in some bees a little more for him, just to be special. Since I have no faith that WWE will put the Universal title on Braun at Crown Jewel, and I don't see it getting put back on Brock, who do you guys think will be the one to take the title off Roman? Also, any chance of the 400 show being a live show? Thanks for keeping me entertained at work each week. First of all, thank you for the kudos. Second of all, your second question first. Yes, it's going to be live.
No, but that's not what he meant.
What do you mean?
He meant, are we going to do
it? Are
we going
to do it at the Brown Bear?
Oh, a live show? Well, yeah. We don't know that yet.
We're not. I'm going to go ahead and say that's probably not going to happen.
Okay.
No?
Unless you want to.
Well, we got to talk about that.
All right.
Maybe. I thought he meant live broadcasting.
Oh, it'll be broadcast
every
live.
Week on rantdm.com
and swlive.net.
Good call. But the first question now last. If it's not going to be Braun, and it's not going to be Lesnar.
Claymore.
Ooh.
Or The Rock.
I think it'll be...
The Rock?
Oh, you son of a
Why?
Bitch.
Why, we're going to get Rock Cena 3 at Mania?
No, you're going to get Rock Roman at Mania.
Oh, God. Passing the torch in the Samoan family?
But there's no torch to pass if the older guy beats the younger guy.
No. Claymore beats Roman. And then The Rock beats Claymore.
And Roman,
and then Roman
the Rumble
beats
The
again.
Rock.
The money's in the chase, Kevin.
I know. I was thinking more along the lines of you actually finally get the stupid Shield split and maybe Ambrose beats him or...
Triple threat at Mania for the Universal.
Which we've been dying for, which we've been calling for a long time.
Or maybe at some point it gets held up.
You look so serious. And your eyes are wider than I've seen them all night.
It could happen. It could happen.
You had like the big. I actually saw a light bulb over your head that just was like it cracked because
people have been clamoring for that triple threat match for a long time, and we sort of forgot about it because the Shield's a thing again.
No,
that wouldn't surprise me.
But are we gonna go back to one of our pet peeves, triple threat matches at WrestleMania?
But come on, the impact of the Shield like imploding or whatever.
I don't think anyone really takes the Shield too seriously anymore. Like in terms, like as awesome as they were before.
Here's the problem: Seth Rollins is goofy. Roman doesn't talk at all anymore, and Ambrose is the only thing really worth watching because he's got the storyline based around him. No, he's like, come on, you're on crazy time or whatever the fuck he said.
Lunatic time.
Really. Really? Seth Rollins, really?
You think
some architect. You know how to build grammatical structure in your sentences.
All right, so let's answer his question. You think Matt thinks it's The Rock that takes the belt off him or Claymore that takes the belt off him? Who said Claymore?
Drew McIntyre.
Yeah, no, I did. Who said Claymore?
Matt did.
Matt did.
And you, who did you say?
I say Ambrose.
Said Ambrose.
Yeah. Why not?
I say. Yeah, I'm.
Oh.
Maybe Braun, but maybe not a crown jewel though.
No, I got it.
Your eyes are huge again.
I got it.
You're scaring me.
Lashley. You watch. They're gonna have balls enough to do it. You watch.
They should do it.
No, they shouldn't.
Do you think Drew
Claymore,
Dean Ambrose, is from Crazy Town?
Is this what we're closing?
I think.
With?
No, we're not closing with fucking. I think Crazy Town.
Not only is he from Crazy Town.
He's
the king.
Oh, I still can't.
You fucking asshole.
I'm sorry.
That's his gimmick, bro.
Well, I'm the king. Well, I'm the king. Well, I'm the queen. Of... All right, Tony ruined it. Tony fucked
it up. You're supposed to say mayor.
No.
No, he's the king.
The mayor.
Kane is the mayor.
Who was that?
No, he's right, actually.
What, that was...
Butterfly?
That was Crazy Town.
Wait, Crazy Town? Isn't that a song?
No, that's a band.
Don't they sing... Well, then who sings a song? It's a Crazy Town, something, something.
Good info.
I don't know. If you donate on our Patreon,
we'll tell you who
tiers. You could keep Tony quiet for 5 minutes.
You could do karaoke with Tony, and he'll sing all the songs just like that.
Did you ever do that though? Did you ever go to a bar and like you're singing a song and they don't know the words and you just kind of just put your beer right up in your the words you don't know?
No,
no, that's what I do all the time. Tony, you are killing me right now.
I'm the king of no selling Kevin G. I'm the king.
That was actually pretty good.
I know.
Way to totally redeem yourself. For a boo. Kid.
So did we answer Mr. Rusinello's question?
Yes. Think so.
I mean, I don't. Yeah.
And we have no other questions this week. I'm kind of surprised. I put the reminder out.
You should probably put the reminder out on Mondays.
I did.
Facebook?
Yeah.
So here's a little interesting thing. I don't know if you guys saw this. Starting later this month, Impact Wrestling will be moving to a later time slot.
Heard that.
Starting October 25th, episodes will begin airing at 10 p.m.
Not good.
On Pop TV. I think it's...
sorry.
I think they're doing it because of Thursday Night Football.
Okay, I got nothing for it. The ratings have not been good.
I'm sorry,
the product's been good. I mean, the ratings have not been.
They have been going down.
So you think that what time do they start now? I usually watch it. It's 8 o'clock. Wow. Yeah, that's gonna. That's
gonna be rough anyway.
That's really rough. You can't move it to Friday either because nobody's gonna watch it at all.
No, and SmackDown's gonna be on Fox in another year or so.
Mm.
But they're not saying it's a temporary move. They're saying this is going to be the slot until whatever their deal is.
Yeah. How much longer do they have with Pop TV?
Who did we talk to that said that it's was it? Did we just talk about it amongst ourselves that the deal's up at the end of the year?
Or
did
we talk to somebody? I feel like that's the same conversation every year with Impact that they're done with whatever.
Unfortunately, it is
cable carrier.
Ugh, sorry. Excuse me.
Tony, did you...
yes, I did.
As we wind down, NXT UK TV show is starting up.
Yes, and we're going to have NXT UK Tag Team Champions, and the belts look pretty damn sweet. Nobody saw them?
I saw them.
I'm not a big belt guy, though, so...
Well, Kevin,
if it ain't
thoughts?
The Winged Eagle, I don't care.
I mean, it's totally different than everything that we get in America. All those belts are so designed and so detailed, whereas WWE belts are just the logo. And that's it.
Yeah, but they got to be commissioned by somebody making them here, right? Or do they get somebody?
I don't know. I just don't understand. I don't know if they think that London or the UK is fancier, so they have to put all these little intricate designs on it.
They probably feel that it's more traditional, so they're going with more traditional designs.
Then that makes sense. And again,
because they put the NXT tag belts to shame, like the fucking big X. And
oh yeah,
I'm so sick of that design.
I am too.
I'm sick of the big W in the middle of the regular belts design.
Agreed.
I get it. They sell. They make money. You could see every other jackass in the crowd holding one of these things. You know?
Yeah.
But
no, I'm with you. And there's a lot more detail into them. But it also seems like it's too busy for me. Like, while I don't appreciate just the big W, I do appreciate simplicity in designs. I don't need to be looking around to see what's what on all these fucking belts. Yeah. Like all these
sometimes a little intricacy is a good thing, though, you know?
Fair enough.
Sometimes.
This UK show debuts tomorrow on the network at 3 o'clock in the afternoon. So your WWE network tomorrow is UK, 205 Live, Mae Young Classic, NXT.
It's a lot of programming.
It's a lot of wrestling. And I know the Mae Young Classic is over in a couple weeks, but oof.
Oof-a.
It's a lot, man.
Oof-a.
Ring of Honor has announced their list of participants for Survival of the Fittest tournament.
Okay.
This is going to air November 4th on the Honor Club. Andrew Everett, Jonathan Gresham, Tracy Williams, Marty Scurll, PJ Black. I'm missing a couple guys.
Darewolf PJ Black,
yes,
correct?
Yes, Darewolf PJ Black. Ah, shit.
Ooh, this just came across the line. Charlotte and Ric Flair are getting sued by Charlotte's ex-husband over her book.
Who, Bram?
Wait,
he works for the company.
Bram?
TMZ.
Bram.
The Bastion of Information.
Never mind. I'm sorry, that's Gunner.
Yes. Ricky Paul Johnson, who was married to Charlotte from 2010 to 2011, filed a lawsuit for defamation over claims that are made in the book. Johnson alleged several false statements made in the book, including he lost two jobs to drug use and that he was sterile as a... Sterile a claim? I think it's supposed to be sterile as a clam. I don't know. What the hell is sterile a claim?
What have you heard either one said ever?
He also alleges that there are multiple false allegations, physical and or psychological abuse.
Ooh.
It's not Bram.
He's got police reports and dash cam footage that refute these claims. The book humiliated his family. He's been subject to shame and ridicule. That's bumping up the emotional distress claims. Wow. Okay.
That's just someone looking to make a buck.
Well, there you go. Well, she made a book, so he gets to make a buck. Am I wrong?
Oh, yeah.
No, you're not wrong at all.
Bowens debuted on Impact.
Well, spoiler alert, man.
Yeah, really?
Oh, sorry.
The fuck, Kev?
He qualified for Crown Jewel.
Is anyone that... What?
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 Explosion, by the way, not actually Impact.
What?
Explosion.
In the butt?
Pretty cool.
I think that's it, no?
Yeah. Here to train.
Pull this train to the station.
It's pulling in now.
The rant will be on later after SmackDown 1000. So make sure you tune in to them. Rant EM Radio.
Yeah, shortly after 10 or 10:01, something com. Like that. Yes.
Happy birthday to Kenny Omega. He's 35.
Good Woo! For him.
Here's your list for the Survival of the Fittest. Hangman Page, Tracy Williams, Marty Scurll, Andrew Everett, Jonathan Gresham, Flip Gordon, PJ Black, and Colin Delaney.
Whoa.
So that's your list for Ring of Honor Survival of the Fittest tournament. We'll be back next Tuesday for another episode of the Shining Wizards Wrestling Podcast. Kevin, any plugs before we get out of this place?
Dumbfellas Podcast will be airing Thursday. We're back. 2 weeks hiatus.
We're back.
Schedules are kind of crazy, so not that anyone really listening to this may or may not care. I think they do. Go to Pro Wrestling Tees. Get all the Shining Wizards shirts.
Including... Shining Wizards Kevin.
Very happy. I'm gonna
the
I'm
Wolf
actually gonna,
pack design.
I'm gonna go order that as soon as I get home. Probably should have done it when there was a sale, but
well, it wasn't up, but don't forget.
Oh, that's a good point.
Sales coming in November again.
Yeah. Well, it is thanks to our guest tonight, Lance Hoyt, at Lance Hoyt on the Twitter machine. Give him a follow if you're in the California area this weekend. Check him out at Big Time Wrestling in California. Shining Wizards Matt.
Tony.
Kevin, Devils are up 3-0.
We'll see you guys next week.
Thanks again to everyone supporting us, especially those who support us on Patreon, patreon.com/wizardspodcast. I'm done.
Later.